Blog Talk Radio.
IWFL Championship game, the first game of Championship Weekend 2009. I'm Coach Penn. We are in Round Rock, Texas, which is just outside of Austin. The Tier 2 Championship game is going to pit the Wisconsin Warriors against the Montreal Blitz. With me today is former captain of the 2001 WAFL Champions, California Quake, and she was also a captain on the 2002 AFWL Champions, Long Beach Aftershock, Deb Gins. How you doing, Deb?
I'm good. Thank you for that introduction.
You're welcome. Well, we are actually just getting ready for the kickoff. They've done the coin toss, they've done the introductions, and you've joined us just in time for football. Montreal won the toss, and guess what? They said, we want the ball. So it looks like they're going to be moving left to right. Number 41 is going to be kicking off for Wisconsin, and 41 is Lissa Gittens. I know her. I got to see her some yesterday kicking the ball because she's on my All-Star team, and the All-Star game we will also be broadcasting on, was it tomorrow? Sunday at 10. So that'll be exciting too. So don't think your weekend ends today. We got a game tomorrow to broadcast. But right now, there's 15 minutes left in the first quarter. The score is 0-0. How long will it stay that way? We got two prolific offenses going at it, and it should be a pretty good battle, and I'm looking forward to it, and here we go. Deb, what are you looking for in this game?
I'm looking for some good football.
Good football. Well, it's a championship game, and I think we're going to get it.
I think we're going to get some good play from the quarterback for the Wisconsin team. She's played for a number of years.
Yes, that would be Brenda Van Kuyk, and she is, I would say, redonkulous. She's just, I mean, it's insane watching her. I mean, she doesn't look fast, but she has graceful strides, and you just can't ever get a clean hit on her. We have a little delay in the game right now because the ball actually fell off the tee, and it doesn't really look like we have much wind. The weather's quite nice. I mean, it is Texas, so it's a little bit hotter than usual. I mean, I got up this morning out of bed. It was already 78 degrees at 7 a.m. Not quite used to that. How about you?
It was pretty hot last night. I went for a walk when I finally got in, and it was sweaty at, like, midnight, so.
Yeah, I have the temperature set in my hotel room to 68 degrees.
Oh, you go outside, and it's like a heat wave.
Oh, no, I first jump in the pool, then in the car, and turn on the air conditioning.
Yeah.
And we're lucky enough to be at this beautiful stadium at ISD Round Rock because, I mean, we're in a fabulous press booth. We have shades. It's air-conditioned. I mean, we have a great view of the entire field, both sides of the stand. This is a beautiful facility.
It is. This is one of the nicer facilities I've ever seen with women's football.
And guess what we have, ladies and gentlemen? We have a Jumbotron. Not just like a picture Jumbotron that you see, you know, at some major high school game. This is a big Jumbotron. They've already been showing highlights of both teams, people stretching on the field. So, I mean, if we miss something, we're going to look up to the Jumbotron and see if we can catch the replay so we can make sure we get it to you correctly.
Yeah, the $100 seats are right in front of the Jumbotron, so they're just watching the big screen.
Yeah, there we go. People camped out along with their big umbrellas and margaritas, right?
A little sunscreen down there.
Of course, they're going to have a shotgun next to them because it is in Texas. And if a steer walks by, they'll say, hey, there's lunch, guys. Yeah, that was funny. We went to soccer, Saltgrass, which is a local, I think, chain steakhouse.
Yeah.
And as we ordered our steaks, we looked out the window, and there were cow. We're like, I wonder if that was mine.
I don't eat that. I don't eat cow.
Yeah, well, it's funny, because the two players I was with, they were like, now I feel bad.
Yeah. Well, that's the same thing with, what is it, Fuddruckers. They have all these sides of beef hanging up in there. I'm like, that's not conducive to eating that burger. Why do they do that?
Not sure what the delay is. The officials were over on the Wisconsin sideline chit-chatting with the coaches over there about some stuff. Looks like they're putting the ball back on the tee now. The officials, which we have, looks like we have six. Is it five or six? No, it looks like it's just a five-man crew. But tier two, they're only required to have four, so they have an extra one here. Hopefully the officiating plays no part in what happens in this game. So here we are with the kick. kickoff. Gittens is back, kicking from the 40-yard line. That's the rule difference from the college and NFL that we play. It's caught at the 15. She's taking up the left side. She's got a couple blockers, waits for those blocks to develop, and number 27 darts in and makes a tackle around the 40-yard line. Hopefully you can clear up those names for me. We got 27 from Wisconsin.
I don't have their roster.
You don't have the Wisconsin roster, so 27 is Erin Wiltshire. She made the tackle. She is their free safety.
I can tell you it was about a 45-yard kick, though.
Yeah, that was a very decent kickoff. I mean, she caught that at the 15-yard line. She had four people. They had a very nice wall in front moving upfield so that she could get behind them. And she let her blocks develop, then bounced back into the middle of the field. And luckily, 27 was there to bring her down. And so it's going to be first and 10 from the 40-yard line. That's decent field position. I've talked to both coaches and a couple players before the game, and the game plan is very unique. Montreal's known as a passing game, but I expect to see some more running based on what the coach said. They usually have 3-4 wide receivers, one, sometimes two backs, but they're a spread-type offense with the quarterback under center, which is unique. And as for the Wisconsin defense, I believe they run a 4-4. But we're waiting for everybody to get lined up. There seems to be another delay with the officials. Obviously, this is the first time they've worked together for an IWFL game because they have no local teams here. This is an IWFL-hosted event because this is their headquarters. So last year we were in Chicago, and that's, you know, the officials were used to officiating games there, so the officials are trying to work things out right now, explaining to coaches. A little delay again. Hopefully this is just a practice, you know, for the first quarter, and then eventually they'll get going.
Yeah, we'll get to the real thing the second quarter.
Yeah, because, I mean, I've been out of football since June 6th, I think. I'm ready to see some football.
Yeah, well, I had a little knee surgery, so I've been out a little longer than that. I did pick up a couple games at the end of the season, though, but do you know, Josh, how many of these players go both ways? It looks like their rosters are sort of small.
Actually, the Montreal Blitz, they have a 40-plus man roster, but one of their players, their star player, number 13,
uh-huh.
She's climbing Mount Kilimanjaro right now.
Excellent. That's very difficult to catch a pass up on Kilimanjaro.
Yeah, I saw he's a great quarterback, but I don't know if she'll get it up there. Plus, she has the Canadian flag in her other hand because that's what she's doing. She's playing the flag up there.
All right. Well, that's a worthy cause.
Yeah, so they're actually missing four of their training all-stars.
Yeah.
And so it'll be unique to see them out there, but they said they recruited heavily this year, and they had over 40 on the roster, and they have, I think they brought 30, maybe just over 30. The Wisconsin team only has 19.
Yeah, it does seem like they outnumber them.
I talked to Coach Mack, and I was like, how many of your starters on defense are going both ways? And I was like, mainly I'm concerned with the DBs. He's like, all of them.
Yeah.
He's like, but we've been doing it all year.
Well, Van Kuyk is an amazing defensive player as well.
And
I don't know if you've looked at her stats.
Oh, no, I've looked at her stats. And right now, Montreal comes out in doubles. That's two receivers on each side, single back, under center. Wisconsin has no free safety. And man on man, and boom, that's a catch to the left side. Sadia dropped back. She had some pressure. She had to let it go early. Perfect timing around fade pattern down the left sideline, and they gained about 12 yards. So now it's going to be first and 10 again, moving the ball. Talk to Van Kuyk about the defense. And she said that, you know, because they spread out, they're going to have to play a lot of man. And I was like, well, isn't that going to be a little bit exhausting?
Yeah.
Instead of just zone?
Yeah.
And she's fairly confident. She said the heat's not going to even bother her because it's her last two games she's played in was hotter than this game.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's saying something because it's a scorcher.
Yeah. Right
They're
now.
They're switching up their D a lot here.
Well, it looks like they rotate strong on the weak side, and the Montreal just came out in a new formation, and they shifted to the double set again, more like a wing set, and it's a power right that is wrapped up and is not going anywhere. There were multiple Wisconsin players on that tackle, 47 and 96 and 41. That's Gittens, Cheryl Johnson, and who is the other one? 96. Sorry, they didn't give us a thing. That's Melanie Lozelle. So
I think the ball carrier was Nina Benz.
Nina Benz?
Yeah. Was that number 30, I believe?
Yeah, they said, I talked to Montreal's coach. He said number 40 and number 30 are the two people to look for on his team.
Okay.
Because they're going to be getting the ball a lot. And surprisingly enough, those are two running backs to me. And they're a passing team. So He says he's going to bring out the running game to show people that they can run too. So here we are, second and 9. They actually gave them a yard. They're in the I formation, no tight end, slot left. Sadia under center. She drops back. It's going to be a pass. It's a stop route, which she badly underthrows. It looks like the receiver wasn't really sure She ran a 7-yard stop. Saudi threw it to about 4-yard stop. So it's incomplete. That'll bring up third and very long. Coach subs in, looks like a fullback, number 34. Number 30 comes out. So it's a big play because they are in Wisconsin territory right now. They get a stop here, looking to bring one first down.
Yeah, Ashcroft just ran in also.
Oh, she runs the sideline and gets the plays.
Okay.
Yeah, you know I've never been a fan of that, so. I've always had those risk coaches. And they are in shotgun. They rarely do this, but they're in doubles, single back to the left. Saudi is calling the cadence from shotgun. And they got it. Oh, there's tons of pressure up the middle. She's going to get sacked for a huge loss. That right there, there was a
95 in there.
95, number 4, 83, 40. There was 5 people in the backfield on that one.
Yeah, Leslie Gittens in on that too.
Yeah, that was a 10-yard. Let me see, 10-yard. They're going to say 8-yard loss.
It was more than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, she got tackled about 15 yards behind scrimmage, but I think they're giving her forward progression to the 44-yard line. So that right there is a great flip right there, a field position. And I know I'll talk to him about a second, but right now they're in punt formation. Van Kuyke, the stealthy returner, is back. And here's the punt. Let's see if they actually punt it to her. It's a short punt. I doubt anybody will touch it. And it's going to bounce back towards the line of scrimmage. It's going to end up being a 5-yard punt. I mean, the punt went about 20 yards, but it took a huge bounce backwards, and none of the Montreal players were there to stop it from rolling back.
Yeah, Van Kuyke is pushing her own person away from the ball. Don't touch it! Don't touch it!
Yeah, and we all know about that. That's,
yes.
Get away from it, because it's a great chance right here. Well, Coach Mack, he's actually one of my all-star coaches. He's helping out with the defense because we've had a couple mishaps with the all-star coaches having emergencies and flight delays. Whenever they see them in single back formation or in shotgun, he's sending 6 every single time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's a strategy.
Yeah, he's going to put the pressure on them and not let them use all their timing routes.
It's fairly gutsy to not even run with a free safety, I think, but do we not see a lot of long balls from them?
No, we do. And there's Van Kuyke under center. They came out in a Florida Gator-like formation. And the reason I bring up the Florida Gators is because when I talked to Coach K, he's the head coach of the Wisconsin Warriors, he compared Van Kuyke to Tim Tebow. He said, she's my Tim Tebow. And they actually had quarterback in the shotgun, 2 fullbacks in front of her, and then a wing right and 1 receiver. And she just took the snap, went right up the middle, and she got 4 yards. And if they can do that all day, this is going to be an easy game for them.
It will be.
And same formation, actually double tight now with this back behind her. And now she's running left, and she squeezes through, only gets about 2 this time. And that'll bring up a third and short with 3rd and 4. That's, you know, that's manageable. That's what you want to get. When talking to the head coach of the Montreal Blitz, he said he wants her to run all day because they're going to pound her. He's like, we're going to try and not so much injure her or knock her out of the game, but we're going to try to beat her up so she has to take some breaks.
Yeah, Perreault is in on that tackle number 20 for the Blitz.
20 for the Blitz.
Just giving you
a little
name here and there. When I can catch a number, it's hard to read those red numbers on those black jerseys.
Yeah, it's kind of bright. We have the sun right in our eyes. So. Same formation for the Wisconsin Warriors. Van Kuyke, now she's going to go right. Tons of lead blockers. That's easily going to be a first down.
Yes.
So she picked up about 6, almost 7 yards of that play, and trying to see the numbers as they unpile. Let me see. That person's just walking away. 34, looked to have her around the leg, so give 34 the credit for that tackle.
Wilkerson,
you go.
Wilkerson Ford, I think.
And just so you know, the Montreal team is a Canadian team, and a lot of their players are French-Canadian. So we might destroy some of the last names.
Yeah, we'll just alter those to an American mispronunciation.
I tried to get right some from some of the ladies, but we're going to do our best to make sure that we represent your name and your family well. Here we are, 1st and 10 for Wisconsin from the 38-yard line, and they did a hard count, and Montreal jumped. So guess what? 5 free yards. Thank you very much. I will take a 1st and 5 anytime you can give it to me.
Yep.
So that's smart coaching right there. You know, they haven't really done anything that I haven't expected. I mean, I looked at film on Wisconsin, and I was like, it's the Van Kuyke show.
Yeah. Well, it seems to me like she can throw the ball as well. She has a couple of receivers, and one in particular has quite a few stats.
Yeah, they have a couple of good receivers, and I was just looking at the Jumbotron, and it actually shows a bunch of flags being thrown on the field. That was pretty awesome. So they haven't altered from their two tight end set, two receivers. It's like a powerhouse backfield. She's just going right up the middle, and it's Van Kuyt going right. And guess what? There's seven more yards, another first down. So that quickly, they've ran four plays and have two first downs, and all of them have been Van Kuyt. And, I mean, what yards did I think of the ball on? The 43, something like that?
48, maybe.
48. Oh, yeah, the other side. 48, and, I mean, it's all her. They're right now at the 26-yard line. There's 10:27 left to go in the first quarter. Still 0-0. Montreal have their chance already. They turned it over after a punt, and now Wisconsin's trying to squeeze it into the end zone and take the lead for this league championship right here. Van Kuyt in the shotgun again. She will not be under center all game. Long count. She runs right. It looks like it was a little bit of a misdirection because everybody went left and she went right, so some sort of counterplay. And she picks up another six yards. I mean, that's just to take something from Varsity Blues. She's like U.S. Mail. Put a stamp on her and write her.
That's a classic misdirection. They do those. They throw those in, and it's very, very difficult to know what they're doing because they go to the predictable side so often, and they throw in that misdirection play, and it's just tough to defend that.
Yeah, and for those of you listening, we'll try and put a visual out there for us. If you're watching a running back downfield and they basically dead-leg you, that's all she did in the backfield. Everybody went left. She dead-legged left, and they went right. And I believe that's their counter play, and it worked very well. So we got second and five. They only gave her five of the play, and this time she's going left. They had her contained, and she broke the corner to see if they can get her on the speed. She gets inside the 10 and is knocked out around the five-yard line. That's Van Kuyt. They actually had her at the line of scrimmage, if not in the backfield.
Yeah, Perot had her in the back, but missed tackle there.
And two blitz players actually knocked her out of bounds, and it looked like they tripped over each other, and one of them is still down. I can't see that number. Do you have a better angle?
Nope, can't see it.
All right, so right now we have a timeout on the field with 9:16 left in Wisconsin at the inside the five-yard line, almost the four.
We're seeing quite a difference in the teams here. We've got four now for Montreal, and we've got, what is it, six, seven plays and three first downs for the Wisconsin team. So we're seeing a lot more production from that offense, definitely.
Yeah, and, Montreal, I have to give them kudos because they're the only team from last year's championship teams, there was four of them, Tier 1, Tier 2, to make it back and defend their title. I mean, they're the defending champs, but when they walked in to check in yesterday, I was like, this team is still small, and I'm not talking about numbers. I'm talking about size. They're a very undersized team, and they have to pick up with it with their athleticism, speed, and smarts. I mean, if Wisconsin's just going to be able to bully them with their size, because Van Kuyt's not small. She's as big as me, and I would probably say she's a little bit more graceful runner than me. So I mean, if they're going to get pushed around and have to take two and three people to tackle her, it's going to be bad. And that's number
86? I was going to say 90. 86 is not on the roster.
Okay, we'll knock that one out. She's up 60, and walking around.
Maybe 66. No?
Just so everybody knows, Montreal's wearing black jerseys with red numbers, and the red numbers are not light. They're very dark, and you really can't see where the
okay, we're going to go 66. I'm going to say that's Jesse Aaron.
Jesse Aaron?
Yeah, she's playing for sure, but
it looks like she just – no, it's not 66, because 66 is down there. That's an offensive lineman.
Okay.
That's their biggest person. I know that. So she's limping back to the sideline. We'll get her number and give you an update on that when we get it. Right now, Wisconsin is back on the ball, same formation. Looks like they have double tight right. They're unbalanced. I would say they're going right, and they do. And she was hitting the backfield, spun off, and managed to gain 2 yards.
She's amazing.
She was hit hard by the defensive tackle, who I didn't quite get her number.
It's Perot. Perot is in the backfield almost every play, but she's just not able to complete the tackle.
And that's something right there that she's going to have to do because, I mean, to be stopped in the backfield and still get almost to the 2 yard line.
At least that time she was low. She'd been hitting her pretty high, and that's very unproductive. But that time she was low, but Van Kuyt is just amazing.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a linebacker, you know get low, don't you? It's too much taking on those.
No one is doing, and they're two different things, but yeah, the lower the better.
And there's Van Kuyt going right, and she powers her way in for the first score of the game, and arms are raised by Wisconsin players. Guess what followed suit? The referees. So that makes it 6-0 right now.
8-12 here in the first quarter.
8-12, first quarter. And that did anybody else touch the ball on the drive?
No.
I mean, she didn't even look to handoff. There's no fake handoffs or anything.
No, she doesn't even pretend she's going to give it to anybody else.
And, I mean, coming in, I knew that's exactly what it was. I mean, I knew exactly what that was going to be. It was going to be the Van Kuyk show. She was going to handle the ball 80 to 90% of the time. And we were going to see, you know, if they could stop her. And Montreal, the coaches were pretty confident that they had a game plan. They were going to, you know, try and beat her up. But, I mean, they're putting all 11 people in the box and saying, your one person unblocked is going to have to tackle her, and it's not happening. Looks like they're going for two. They are not going to kick it. They have unbalanced left right now, and they're going to the weak side right. And it's, oh, it was an option play. Okay, first of all, let me break this down for you. You can go ahead and laugh now. Van Kuyk was optioning to the weak side. She had somebody to pitch it to. She was hit, grabbed by the jersey. She turned around, looked for her person, underhand threw it to her, and the girl walked in because everybody was attacking Van Kuyk. So the first play that somebody else touched the ball, 2-point conversion, 8-0.
I'm looking to see 24. Because that person who wrapped up Van Kuyk, I believe, again, was Perreault. So Perreault's going to have a tough day. She's going to have a lot of things to rethink if this keeps happening because she is so close in every play, and yet no tackle at the end.
And Sherry Diak. I believe Sherry Diak was the one who converted the 2 points, who was in the right place to make sure and get that ball from Van Kuyk. So Van Kuyk is now on the sideline. She will not be doing kickoff or kickoff return. She does the only two things she will not be on today. They took her off of those because it's so hot and she wants to play in the All-Star game tomorrow.
I'm still trying to get the number of that injured player down there.
That's her walking around. Right?
Yeah, I think it's an 80. But
do they have an 88? Oh, she's been over now. 88, yes.
88, yes. That is Lori Chambers. And so she's moving around, so that's a good sign.
Yeah, I think she twisted her ankle. I think
yeah.
That's all it was. So,
okay.
I mean, she's going to have to retape that up, see if she can run. Prove to the trainers that she's capable of, you know, moving again. So it's just a bunch of missed tackles and an overpowering by Wisconsin. The one thing you got to worry about with Wisconsin, though, is that their entire team is basically going both ways. So, I mean, it's very important for them to jump out early because I expect to see them tiring.
Yeah, this heat's going to wear down anybody who's playing a full game.
All right, so here we go. Wisconsin's kicking off again. That's Leslie Gittens back there. She is going to be doing the duty. She's 11 yards back, scrambling up, and she's going to boot the ball. And this time it's a shorter kick, caught at the 21-yard line. And, oh, she's trying to bounce outside. Is that 24?
27. 27 on the tackle.
27 on the tackle again. She's the one that made the tackle the first time. That's Elizabeth Strofsky. And then that was that 24 on the return?
Oh, yeah. I can't even.
54.
Okay. 54 is Amy Lee Gunter.
Gunter. That was 50. She had a bunch of blockers in the middle, but there were also a lot of Wisconsin people in the middle, so she tried to bounce right outside, and she was just taken down very quickly by number 27.
Yeah, about a 40-yard punt. Or kickoff, sorry.
Yeah, she got it around the 20. Yeah, around the 20-yard line, she got it back to the 28-yard line. So Montreal, after having great field position last time and being able to do nothing with it, this time doesn't have very good field position. I mean, you're at the 28-yard line. That's not bad, but, I mean,
yeah.
It's not the 40 or 50 which both teams are used to starting off of because of the returns you get in women's football. So they bounce out of the huddle, get to the line, and they are in an I set with slot receiver right, no tight end. Wisconsin's in a 4-4 stunt. They motion the fullback up to wing left, so it's a doubles again, and it looks like it's going to be a blast play, which is, you know, it looks like a blast defensive play because it didn't go anywhere.
41 on the tackle.
41, that was Gittens on the tackle. She made the tackle. They looked like they gained a yard, and I believe that was that number 30 on the run again?
I believe it was. That's Bynes, I believe.
Bynes. Okay.
Fine,
she got a yard. It was what they did is they motioned the fullback to where they wanted to run the ball, and it was just overloaded by that time. And I mean, she just couldn't get anywhere. Saudia had to take a deep angle. It's an off tackle play, not up the middle. So she had to take a deep angle. You know, see Peyton Manning handing those ones off, trying to get that zone blocking scheme. There's no free safety for Wisconsin. Everybody's man on man right now. They're in the slot left now with the eye, no motion, and they pounded right up the middle. And they still only get about 2 yards. But that was a straight lead right there. And
47 at the tackle.
47 is Chris Walker.
Yep.
All right. And then, you know, Devin and I have talked about this before. I mean, she used to play for me, and the quarterback is running to the sideline to get the play every time, and that's never been something I've liked.
No, you've never been a fan of that.
Yeah. I'm big on risk coaches and just show them a number, you know, because I want my quarterback to be as healthy as possible or as fresh as possible, and running back and forth from the sideline to get the play is not conducive to staying healthy. So it looks like the wind has picked up. There's been a timeout called by Montreal, that the quarterback was on the sideline forever trying to get that play. So with 6:31 left, we have a first timeout called by the Blitz. They have a third and long six. Otherwise, they're going to have to punt the ball back to Wisconsin and Brenda Van Kuyk. So with 3rd and 7 on the 31-yard line, I'm going to take a voice break and just relax for a second.
All right, then. Are you wanting me to fill in?
You don't have to. I'm just going to, you know, drink some water. I'm feeling a little parched.
Hey, IWFL fans. Ever wanted to ask the legal question? Get to know your favorite IWFL players? Or watch IWFL videos or check in on your local team's fan club? Then IWFL Ning is for you. You can find it at www.iwflfootball.ning.com. The IWFL Ning site is a social networking site designed to allow the league, teams, players, and fans to connect in a professional online environment. Signing up is easy. Just go to www.iwflfootball.ning.com. Create your page and you're ready to go. Add friends, start a discussion, view pictures and videos, join a team group page, or read blogs. This is the place to spend a little time getting to know the IWFL, the best play here. Once again, it's iwflfootball.ning.com.
All right, we're back out of the timeout. Number 34 subbed in for 30 for Montreal in the backfield. She is the lone back right now. Got 80 coming across the field in motion, so it's tight end right, trips left, single back, under center. And they're going to fake the handoff. Sadia's rolling left. She's got somebody wide open. And boom, she delivers the ball. And it is going to be a first down and about a 12-yard gain. We got to wait till the number comes a little closer.
27 with the tackle.
Yeah, 27 with the tackle. That was Elizabeth Stronsky. And I'm trying 82. Is there an 82?
Yeah, Aaliyah Palmer.
Aaliyah Palmer with the catch. She was, I mean, Sadia could have thrown that a little bit quicker. She probably could have broke down the sidelines for a huge gain. But Sadia had to get outside the pocket so where she could see her and deliver that ball. But it was a perfectly thrown ball, nice passing catch, and first down.
That's their first down of the game.
First down
of the game.
Yeah, those double words. All right, so it looks like they're going to go stay spread out. Now they got trips left, spread right, single back still under center, no free safety, one middle linebacker, that's Gittens. It's a straight drop back, and it's a stop route, which they tried earlier. And holy cow, 47 got over there quick. Chris Walker was the defensive end or linebacker type. As soon as she saw Sadia drop back, she got into the flats and delivered a huge hit, but that's a 5-yard gain.
I think that was DeCarry Corbell.
That was 80.
Yeah.
Good go. Corbell on the catch, that was the ones that tried hooking up earlier where Corbell ran it too deep. She looks like she ran it perfectly at 4 or 5 yards, caught the ball. She did take a huge wallop right there because that was a big hit. But, hey, a catch no less, right?
Yep.
Tends to hurt a little less when you actually do something correct.
Yeah.
When you make a mistake and get hit hard, then it hurts worse.
Well, I'm sure they're feeling a little bit better right now. They're getting a little bit of momentum going. That's at least an upstart for them.
So they're on the right hash right now, 2nd and 5, maybe 2nd and 4. Twins right. They shift number 40 to the wing left, so it's doubles again, single back. And there's going to be a running play. We saw a pull. That was number 40 on the run, but I saw number 86 pull from the right tight end position. She pulled across the formation, and there was a huge hole, but it looked like it took too long for the play to develop. Number 47, Chris Walker on the tackle, lost her helmet, but a gain of 2 yards, making it 3rd and 3.
I think that was Chambers maybe on the pull. We don't have an 86,
oh.
And I don't have a 46. It's so hard to read.
Oh, that's 96.
96, okay. 96 is Lizelle.
Lizelle? All right. Yeah, she was like the right side tight end, and she pulled across, and you saw the hole that she went through. It's huge. But the running back's like 8 yards deep, and it took her forever to get there.
Yeah, they do have that back that's nearly 10 yards behind.
Yeah, so we got doubles again under center. They're going to run it, and it was there. Let's see if she powers away. No, Wisconsin flexed their muscles. If she could have kept pounding her legs, she probably would have got it. This is going to bring up 4th and 1. 83 on the tackle.
Walker's in on the tackle, too. Chris.
Well, I have Suzanne Osterud. She's a very big girl. She's probably the largest player on their team, and I'm not talking about large. I'm talking about she's tall and big and strong. She was a part of the press conference yesterday, and I was like, wow. I wonder what position she plays.
Yeah.
And she's a defensive end, and she stood that girl up, and Walker came in and helped clean up on that one. So 4th and 1, huge play for Montreal. They're at the Wisconsin 46-yard line, almost touching the 45. They've got to get to the 44 to make sure they have a first down, and it looks like Wisconsin is sending everybody. They got 3 receivers, and they're manned up everywhere else. Everybody's coming, and they go for the quick dive. There's no way they made that. They barely made it to the 45-yard line when they had to get to the 44. So the officials are going to spot the ball, but where those officials walked in, they're nowhere near, are they?
No.
They're going to be a good foot or two short.
Yeah, it's not even going to be a...
And I don't know if you can really...
bringing out the chains, not even necessary.
They're pulling a lot of people off the ground. 83, 58, there's a ton of people on that. So that's Carissa Berg and, you know, the Suzanne Osterud, they're all in there. So, I mean, that was a huge play. It looks like it's going to be a turnover of downs. And are they actually going to bring the chains out? They're actually going to bring the chains out. They haven't marked where they crossed the 45, but I think they had to get almost to the 44 to get there.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I would say they need another foot, but it's looking like where they're putting it right now, it might be a little closer than what we think.
Yeah, but it's still going to be short. Yeah, they're a little less than a foot short, but there's no way that they've got that. So let's see how many people come in. 5 people come in from the sidelines, so that means 6 people are going both ways right now. So, and whereas Montreal brings in a whole new set of people. So I'm looking for that to hopefully take an advantage later. But as of right now, Wisconsin's just manhandling them, to use that kind of terminology. I know there's a team allowed here, but there's some terms that are just going to stay.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll take that. So this isn't quite as good a field position as it was the last time. But 25 yards further back, but 1st and 10 at the 45.
Yeah, 1st and 10 at the 45, 3:24 left to go in the first quarter. Wisconsin already has a lead, 8-0, and they are in a doubles spread right now. Fullback to the left, Van Kuyk's going to throw. She drilled it down the middle. Great pass, 24 on the catch. That was Sherry Diak right there, and that was huge. I mean, they lined up in doubles, and they didn't wait for Wisconsin to adjust. They basically just took the snap. Van Kuyk saw her running down the seam, and she drilled a bullet down there. She caught it, and now they're at the 38-yard line. So that's right there, 12 and 5. That's a 17-yard completion. So, I mean, it's Van Kuyk to Diak, and that was a huge play right there. I mean, that was a very nice throw. Van Kuyk's not a prototypical quarterback, but, I mean, if you can deliver that right there,
An arm. She just doesn't need to use it very often. I mean, if you can run the ball, why put it in the air?
So here we go, 1st and 10. They're in the same formation, doubles. It's going to speed option right. Van Kuyk's going to go as far as she can, and then she pitches it to 28, who's around the corner. She picks up 5 yards, but there are 2 or 3 flags on the field. This is going to come back for offensive holding. So that was 28, Jessica Plumley on the pitch. Van Kuyk made sure, got 2 defenders to wrap her up and then pitched it over their head. She picked up 5 yards, but 4 not, as there's a holding penalty on the right side tackle. And I didn't get the number. Let me see if they show it on the replay board. They have another flag animation up there, though. It's pretty awesome.
Parent in on the tackle there. I couldn't see the other number.
Let's see where they marked this from. Looks like it was 2 yards downfield, so it's going to be an 8-yard penalty, bringing up 1st and 18. No, they're going to mark a 10? Yeah. So it's going to be 1st and 20. So they're going to wind the clock. We're closing in on 2 minutes in the first quarter. 1st and 20, that was the first real mistake that Wisconsin's made right there.
Yeah, holding can be a biggie.
Yeah. So we got double tight, still the shotgun, single back, 1 receiver on each side. Van Kuyk takes a snap. It's a quarterback draw, and it's not going to go anywhere.
Nope.
2 people on the tackle. She's going to lose half a yard on that play. That's number 20 on the tackle and number 24 on the tackle.
Timblay and Perot is in there.
All right, that's 2 people on tackle. I mean, it was a quarterback draw. She drops back, says she's going to throw, and then took off up the middle, and nobody was fooled for Montreal. They were standing there ready for it. So first 2 negative plays in a row, a 10-yard penalty and a half-yard loss. That's pretty amazing right there. Montreal waking up, and they need to. They're down 8 already, and Wisconsin is in their territory, second and very long, second and 20. Not too many playbooks have a second and 20 play.
Yeah, well, if Perot can step it up a little bit, I mean, she's been right there every single time. So if she starts wrapping up and making the tackle good,
oh,
it'll be a different game.
There's a deep pass wide open, number 24, and it is caught, and they're trying to bring her down or strip the ball, and they're failing at both. She ends up getting tackled by number 22.
That's Polly.
27,
that's Wiltshire.
27 finally brings her down after trying to strip the ball and everything like that. They were in the double tight two-receiver set. They faked the handoff, and they had a corner blitz on that play, and Van Kuyt just stood there until she got right there, put a little move, ran outside, and let the ball go deep. That was a huge play on second and 20. Now they got first and goal from the 7, so Montreal, after having two very successful plays, gets hit hard, and Wisconsin's looking to score again before the first quarter ends.
Well, the clock's ticking. We're under a minute, but it's likely that they'll go ahead and run this through. I can't see that Montreal will be able to stop them here. They just took a whole shift right back of all the momentum.
Yeah, it looks like Montreal's sending everybody there in that full house backfield, kind of an inverted wishbone with Van Kuyt in the middle, and there is a huge corner for her to get to. She has the speed, and they're not going to get her. That's a touchdown for Van Kuyt, number 2 on the day, and it's the first quarter. So with 36 seconds left, we're going to have an extra point, but probably a 2-point conversion attempt, and then Montreal is going to have to wake up offensively and defensively because it's 14-0.
Yep, Wisconsin is surfing a big one on Van Kuyt. She is just amazing. There were three defenders chasing her all the way out to the corner, and they were not able to even come close.
Yeah,
she's got speed.
They all had angles to basically tackle somebody a bit slower.
Yeah.
and that's one thing that speed does. It's hard to adjust to.
Well, they were on the right angle. She just outran their angle.
Yep, so they're going to have to adjust the angles or they're going to get screwed.
They all three had decent pursuits. It's just she just shifted it into that turbo speed and ran right around them.
All right, they're in a different formation now. They have two wide receivers, no tight end, two in the backfield. And it's going to be a pass. A little dump over the middle to number 20. That's Abigail Coons, and she catches it. She did a little dig route. She faked outside, went back in. Two people were covering her, and they both bit on the first move. Touchdown, 16-0, just like that. Just when you thought Montreal was going to get the ball back, you know, two good plays, and now it's 16-0, all because of Van Kuyt's escapability in the pocket, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Well, Montreal seems to be wrapping up, but they're not able to finish.
Yeah. And finishing is huge, and, I mean, we're better to finish than in the championship game. You know, they don't come here to get beat, and that's one of the things I talked to their head coach about. And he's like, you know, we didn't come here to lose. We came here to represent our country. We're playing for more than the Audi Football Championship. You know, we're from Canada, and we're representing our country and our league, our conference, and our division. So, I mean, they need to step up their game if they want to keep up with Wisconsin, because Wisconsin's just having it their way right now. It's like a Burger King commercial.
Yeah. Pickles, no pickles, whatever they want.
Yeah, so some of the things we've been seeing, you know, number 40, number 30 been carrying the ball. I got a little interesting tidbit about number 40 for Montreal. What's her name again, 40?
Number 40. I don't have a 40. She's a captain. Annie Arpin.
Annie Arpin. She actually was in Bosnia. She's the only female Canadian to serve in a war.
Wow.
Yeah, that was pretty cool right there when I was talking to Coach about that. So, you know, so Montreal, they did win the championship last year, but they basically have a brand-new team. Sadia, the quarterback, and a few other players, the only ones returning, this is basically a brand-new team for them, and to make it back to the championship is huge. So we got Gittins kicking off for the third time today, and she boots this one. Holy cow, that's going to be a touchback. That ball landed inside the 5 and went through the end zone. I can't wait to use her on Sunday.
Yeah.
That was a huge kick. And
yeah, she nailed that.
And this lady's not huge in stature. She's, you know, 5'4", 5'5", maybe something like that. She just has a wallop in that leg. That was a great kick.
She's called donkey.
So that's something you rarely say in women's football. We got a touchback. Bring the ball out to the 20. So now Montreal is in the worst field position of the game. 36 seconds left in the first quarter. Wisconsin up 16-0. We're hoping that Wisconsin can keep it fresh and hoping that Montreal can maybe make a game of this We have 36 seconds to run probably just one play. Let's get a drive going here. The last one wasn't that bad. It's just they couldn't come aboard on 4th and 1. So we got slot left, I backfield, 1 spread right. Sadia under center. Takes a snap, drops back, and it looks like there's a false start on the play. And, yep, you got that Dante Cole put for motion from the refs. Rolling arm over arm. That's a false start on the offense. So bring bad field position to that worst field position. First and 15, you never want to be in, especially when you're inside your own 20. So 33 seconds left. They should probably change the clock to 36 seconds. I don't know if they're going to do that. Because that play actually never happened. So, but I think they're
just
going to
let
play.
That go.
Yeah, they're going to just let, because I think they're just going to run one play. I don't think they're going to use timeouts. Drop straight back. Oh, wow.
Pressure from all over.
That's one of the things I've never understood with Montreal. They run that spread offense from under center. And, you know, if you have anybody that you're playing against that has any kind of speed, they're going to get there. I mean, she ended up picking up a yard by stepping up into the pocket, taking off. But one of the receivers had a step on Van Kuyk, and if she probably could have stepped up and thrown it, it would have been a good play. But she just had pressure. She took one step back, and everybody's in. She took two more, and she's like, I better go forward. And that is the end of the first quarter. Wisconsin is leading 16-0 over the defending Tier 2 champion Montreal Blitz. With that said, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back in 30 seconds.
Hey, IWFL fans. Ever wanted to ask the league a question? Get to know your favorite IWFL players? Or watch IWFL videos or check in on your local team's fan club? Then IWFL Ning is for you. You can find it at www.iwflfootball.ning.com. The IWFL Ning site is a social networking site designed to allow the league, teams, players, and fans to connect in a professional online environment. Signing up is easy. Just go to www.iwflfootball.ning.com. Create your page and you're ready to go. Add friends, start a discussion, view pictures and videos, join a team group page, or read blogs. This is the place to spend a little time getting to know the IWFL, the best play here. Once again, it's iwflfootball.ning.com.
All right, we're coming back from commercial break. They've just broken the huddle. It's 2nd and 14 for Montreal. Start of the second quarter, so now they're going from right to left. So they have the wind behind their back. They're in a slot left formation. Two running backs in the backfield. That's number 40 and number 30. And there's a fade route. She just overthrows number 82, who was being covered by number 20, Abbeville Coons. Looks like she had a step, but if she would have caught it, she would have been tackled immediately. That was a nice pass by Saudi, just about 2 yards too far.
That's Palmer. Intended receiver was Palmer.
Palmer was the intended receiver, just a bit overthrown. Not sure if I agree with that play right there, but I'm not going to second-guess any coaches or side seat coach for the coaches down there. It's third and long now. I mean, I would have preferred to grab something over the middle, maybe try and surprise them with a run on 2nd and long. But now here they are facing 3rd and 14 from their own 16-yard line. To punt from here would not be advantageous. So they're in slot left again with the I backfield. Both backs are in a two-point stance, not a three-point stance. Straight drop back, no pressure. Nice post route, just overthrown. That was 27 on the coverage. Is that number 80? I think it's number 80. Yes, it's number 80.
Okay. That would be Corbell.
So Corbell was covered by Straczynski. Straczynski. And it was good coverage, but if the ball would have been where it was supposed to be, it would have been completion. She just overthrew her by a couple feet, looks like. She reached for it, but it wasn't in the diving range. So now they have to punt. And Montreal's punt formation, second time we're seeing it today. They have two personal protectors. Looks like they only have 10 on the field right now. Yeah, they're missing one. So they're going to step up and make sure they have 7 on the line of scrimmage. Van Kuyk is back deep. So they're gonna punt it with only 10 people in the field. I hope that doesn't burn them. It's a very, very high punt. Punt to the 46-yard line. Van Kuyk's going right, and she has blockers. She runs into one of her blockers, though, and that's going to work out best. Great tackle by number 24. Yeah, exactly. When we find that number, it's 24.
Yeah, that's Tremblay.
Tremblay on the tackle. She was on the other side of the field, basically outside protection, and Van Kuyk was running right, ran right into the one blocker, blocking the one person that could stop her from the end zone, cut back across the field very quickly, picked up about 12 more yards, and 24 just made a great one-on-one open field tackle. That's pretty impressive, knowing how elusive Van Kuyk is in the open field. So it's first and 10. The change of field position is 3 yards. So the net punt, 3 yards right there. So they're inside the 20, looking to make this game already ridiculous. They are in that power backfield, double tight end, two fullbacks, and a tailback behind Van Kuyk in the shotgun. Montreal has everybody there. Van Kuyk's running left, cuts up field, waits for a block. She's cut off two blocks now. That's going to be an 8-yard gain to the left side of the field. Is she over 100 yards yet?
Oh, it's probably
going to be. Well, no, they sent their whole second series passing. So.
Yeah. I believe Wilshire was in on that tackle. I couldn't see the other numbers.
Yeah. And we apologize for the Montreal fans who are listening, and you know, it's just very hard to see the numbers from way up here. I mean, dark on dark is never a good thing. So just so any future teams looking to start your team, when you have black jerseys, go with a light number, you know, just so it's easy for the announcers, especially when we're in a nice facility like RRISD is here. You know, it's beautiful, but it's so far away that those numbers are hard to see. Here's a snap. Van Kuyk's going left. They have her dead to right. Let's see if they can stop her, and they do. That's two people on the tackle. She's going to lose a yard. It's 20.
I think Wilshire was in on that tackle as well.
Yeah. That's 27. You have 27?
27 is Wilshire.
Yeah, 27. She had a great wrap-up around her legs and lost a yard. So that's going to bring up 3rd and 4 now from the 13-yard line. So there's a very positive aspect right there for them to start building upon. You know, they've wrapped her up in the open field by herself twice and not let her get away. They just need to stop her up the middle because she's just following her blocks behind her those big boys up front and let her to the end zone twice. Here they are in that full house backfield. Everybody up for Montreal. There's 11 people in the box right now. And Van Kuyk goes right at that dead leg counter that I was talking about. She got the first down. Looks like she picked up 6. So with 12:55, they're inside the 10-yard line, already up 16-0. That's that counter play that we were talking about earlier where she just steps left and runs right.
I believe Jen DeGeis was in on the tackle. There were a couple other players in on there with an assist. But
so DeGeis was in on that tackle?
DeGeis, yeah.
Only reason I know I talked to their delegate or team manager and I got some of the pronunciation of their teams, but I gave Deb that roster so she can work on that one, and I have the Wisconsin roster over here on my side, so we're trying to bounce back and forth there. There in that full house backfield, looks like it's equal footing, so it's not strong right or strong left. And Van Kuyk's going to go right. They had her in the backfield, let her go again. Looks like they almost stripped the ball, but she's inside the 5. Was that 66 that had her?
I think it was 23. Which is DuPont parent.
Oh, yeah, that's Zupont.
Zupont.
And it's not, the parent part is not parent. It's something like...
Pere?
But no, it was not, you don't say the P at all. It's like, oh, all.
Okay.
It's Zupont, oh, all. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to say Zupont because that's easy.
Yeah, I'd go with the tile company, but that probably wouldn't make them happy.
So we got 2nd and goal from the 4-yard line. Wisconsin trudges out from the... on the huddle. It looks like they're in the same formation. No, they're an unbalanced right now with that full house backfield. There's a false start. Are they going to call it? They do call it, and it's going to knock them back 5 yards. So there's a second penalty on Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, they're up to 15 yards in penalties, but it doesn't seem to be stopping them much. Not even really slowing them down.
No.
Just gives her a little bit more room to get a little bit more speed up.
Yeah, number 20, 20 was, they're all in a 2-point stance. The only person in a 3-point stance is the center, and that's because she has to put that hand on that ball. Everybody else in a 2-point stance. Number 20 rocked forward right before the snap of the ball, and the official down on the side, right side caught it through the flag back about 5. The 2nd and goal was 11:20 and rolling on the clock, and now they're unbalanced left. Unbalanced, just so you know. It means they have four linemen on the left, two on the right, and they're running left, and she was dead to rights. Number seven had her, wrapped her up, and it looks like she's only going to get 2 yards in that play. Luckily, she has some teammates help clean up because number seven was there, and she hurt her wrist. What's number seven's name?
LeBros.
She looks like she was holding her wrist, but she's still in the huddle. Grimacing. I can't see the numbers, but I can see the expression on her face. She's grimacing.
Yeah, if Montreal is going to change things up, that's the kind of tackle they need. I mean, there was four of them in there. They wrapped her up, and they kept her knocked her down. But that needs to happen all day long because they're going to be sunk if they let Van Kuyt get going because she's just going to run right through them.
Yeah, so that brings up third and goal from the 8-yard line. They're in the shotgun formation, tight end right, motion to running back number 24 out of the backfield, so two receivers left. Looks like should have been a false start. Mayer is wide open over the middle. Number 20, Abigail Coons, she was the tight end on that one. What they did is they motioned the running back out to the left where the tight end and receiver was. Both people, whoever was supposed to cover the tight end, covered the motion person. The corner had the wide receiver, and they picked each other. And then she just ran down the seam down the middle of the field, and by the time anybody noticed, she was sitting there by herself in the back of the end zone. Stood there for an easy score. Touchdown, Warriors. Two-point conversion again. We got two receivers right, tight end left, one running back. Gets Gittens. Gittens got the ball, and she was...
And Gittens got gotten.
Gittens got, yeah. Right there. She was tackled immediately by 1, 2, 3 Montreal Blitz players.
I think...
23 was in them there.
Mongu, Zouronzai, whatever. We'll just pronounce it differently every time.
So that right there is a first successful stop for Montreal. Wisconsin hit the ball 3 times, has 3 scores. 2 by Van Kuyt, 1 by Coons. Scores 22-0 with 10:23 left in the first half. Montreal has got to put something together this drive. One, for just making sure that their defense is off the field. 2, for making sure that they know they build some confidence. Their kickoff return team is set up in a 5-3-1-2 for a returning. And Gittens will be kicking against the wind, which looks like it has died down a bit. So we will see about that, see if that affects her kickoff as her last one was a touchback.
I would say Van Kuyt is getting close to 100 yards. You know, the first series, they only had to go about 50 yards. So.
Yeah, they were inside the 48-yard line. That was all her 48 yards right there.
Yeah, but that's fairly short yardage for a series. So.
Yeah, and then the second one, it was all throws, and she had that one run at the end.
Yeah, so I think she's probably getting close, but I wouldn't say she's got 100 yet.
Yeah. I mean, overall, I know she has 100. Passing and throwing,
well,
she's probably closing in on 200 already.
Yeah, definitely there if you combine them. Now, wasn't that touchdown almost a repeat of the play where they got the two-point conversion?
No, it's a different formation. The 20 actually was covered last time. So here's the kickoff. This one's a little pooch kick, which is picked up, dropped at the 20-yard line. Now it's rolled all the way up to the 30. She gets off the ground, and she got off the ground, and there's nobody there. She lowers her shoulder, knocks into one person, but unfortunately it's hit by 3 people and goes flying backwards. That was 54.
Gunter
on the return.
Emily Gunter on that.
It was fumbled by the returner, and it bounced forward towards the Wisconsin players. She tried hopping on it, and as she was trying to hop on it, 54 just picked it up and started running, and everybody else was standing around going, "Where'd the ball go?" So, I mean, they got good field position here across the 40-yard line.
Yeah, that was kind of a comedy of errors, but it worked out fairly well for Montreal.
Is there a flag on the play? They're talking to Saudi, the captain, so they're trying to...
I have no idea.
I did not see a... Oh, there's a flag back at the 40.
Ooh.
He just picked one up. So, obviously, I think they were offsides on the kickoff. So, what you do is you add the penalty to the return. So, an extra 5 yards brings them up to the 45-yard line. So... A third penalty by Wisconsin right there.
So that made it a 20-yard return instead of a 15-yard
bobble
bounce mumbo jumbo.
Well, it's actually 25 because the ball hit her in the chest at 20.
Okay.
So we got with 2 receivers left in the slot. We're dropped back, straight pass, wide open. Oh, he dropped it. 42.
Mongu.
Mongu was, she did a flag route. She was a slot receiver. She basically did a post corner, faked the post, went to the corner route. Saudia hit a perfect pass. Van Kuyt took a horrible angle going for the interception, went right off of her fingertips. She would have been gone. That would have been a touchdown right there. That was the big play they needed, and mistakes like drop passes are not helping.
I think Van Kuyt might have stopped her before she got a touchdown, but
she would have to change direction. She was looking for a pick six. You don't have to whisper it. So we're in the shotgun formation. They do a draw play, and it's wide open up the middle. Boom! That's how you lower your shoulder, fullback. Everybody's clapping on the Montreal sideline. Those who aren't with their coaches trying to make adjustments on defense. Whatever was that? Was that number 40 or 34?
I think that was Gunter, but I'm not sure. I think it was 54.
That was 54. It was a draw play. They had double receivers. Saudi was in the shotgun. She took a step, put it right up the middle. Great blocking and a nice 11-yard gain for a first down in Wisconsin territory. So there's another first down for Montreal. Let's see if they can sustain this momentum now, because they need to keep their offense out there and wear down some of these two-way Wisconsin players. First and 10 with 9:37 and rolling, down 22-0. They're in doubles again in the shotgun. It's a great snap. Blitzing off the corner. She throws it down the middle. Oh! Just missed her again. That's the fourth pass that is just missed a receiver. Now, none of these receivers have been wide open on these routes that she's missed. They've been wide open. She's hit them.
She's actually hitting the receiver the side she needs to. I mean, it's just either just short or just long. But when she's throwing just short, the receiver's on the inside. And when she's throwing just long, the receiver's on the outside of the defender. But that extra few feet makes a difference, even if it's a couple.
Yeah, because these completions would really help right now. Because, I mean, it's great coverage for Wisconsin. But if that ball is a foot more to where it's supposed to be,
yep,
it's completion, no less. Because
yep,
that the ball is exactly at the right height, right where you're supposed to catch it in the numbers, in the hands. It's just she's missing it a little bit, and there's another false start. Not really sure. I didn't see anybody move. Like, Saudi's going up to the official right now saying that's a motion. But obviously, she's not going to win that battle. The flag's already been thrown,
yeah,
and they're already marching it backwards.
Well, kind of to sum up how things have gone, Montreal's hoping to get one more first down, and then they'll have one first down for every touchdown that Wisconsin's been able to.
That's never good.
That's not a good scenario.
So here we go. We got slot right, one spread left, I backfield, Saudi under center. Got a 4-4 by Wisconsin defense, straight drop back. And I could tell what that play was going to be. They're trying to get 82 on a fly route, but 20 was jamming, or Coons was jamming 82. And
that's
82.
Aaliyah Palmer.
That's Palmer. Yeah, Palmer was trying to get on a fly route. It was supposed to be a timed fade down the left sideline, but Coons jammed her at the line of scrimmage, which is perfectly legal. You're allowed to jam at the line of scrimmage, but now it brings up 3rd and 15. They're behind the chains again.
That's where they spent a good deal of their day.
Yeah, well, I mean, like I said, you know, putting yourself in management, you usually want to do. So, I mean, I don't understand why you try and throw deep, even if it is just a quick throw of timing routes. You know, 3rd and 15 is not something you want to do, and they're in slot left again. Straight drop back, no pressure. There's that pass down the middle again, and this one she overthrew. This one, I think the corner 27, that's Straczynski, actually had great coverage on that one, and that one would have been knocked down or intercepted if it was correctly thrown.
Yeah, that was one of the...
Something we're familiar with, the punt team of Montreal right now. So let's get the punter's number. What number was that? Number 7? Number 7 is punting.
Number 7 is Labrosse.
Labrosse? Labrosse is punting. She's had a couple short punts. Her punts get really high. Her punts get really, really high, but the spin is not what you would call perfect. And when it hits the ground, they have bounced backwards, and you don't want to really kick it to Van Kuyt. This one, she does directional kick to the right. It takes a right bounce, retreats just a little bit, and they're going to down it inside the 30. So that's going to be 49 to the 29, 20-yard punt, which is much better than a 50-yard return.
Yes, it is.
So with 9:02 left, Wisconsin is getting the ball back. They have not been stopped yet, with the exception of 1-2-1 conversion. And it's 22-0 Wisconsin. Montreal's got to be tired of being on defense. hopefully they can put something together here. The Wisconsin players are walking rather slowly back onto the field. So, I mean, it's only going to get hotter. The second half's going to be as hot, and guess what? The Wisconsin coaches are calling in timeouts. You could just tell when they came from the sideline, the five players that rotate out, they were not excited to be on the field.
Yeah. Well, you got to, you know, up in Wisconsin, it's probably fairly chilly, but haven't they played a few games down here towards this?
Well, Brenda, actually, I talked to Brenda before the game. She said the last two games they played, which were at home, was hotter than this.
In Wisconsin?
Yeah, in Wisconsin. They said, she's like, our last two games was, you know, was a lot hotter than this.
Now look at that.
Yeah, the Jumbotron's putting up the time for the timeout. We're sort of amazed that the Jumbotron is fairly unheard of in women's football, so we're just kind of trying to keep our focus on the game, but it is pretty entertaining here in the field.
Yeah, and we're not remembering to look up there for the replay either. That would probably help with the numbers because they're closer on the field with the cameras.
Are they showing the replay?
Yeah, they're showing the replay. Every time I look over there to look at the time, I'm like, oh, I missed the replay. I could help with the numbers a little bit better then. And I didn't bring binoculars because I really never expected to be in something this nice, you know, or this high.
Yeah.
But I'm very proud to say that the league did a great job in picking a stadium and a location. I mean, people in Texas are really nice. I mean, you really don't find much nicer folk. Just because they're allowed to, you know, carry guns anywhere doesn't make them any less nicer.
Well, let's go back to the stadium. The stadium is beautiful. You couldn't ask for a better spot than this.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, the surroundings is just great. I mean, it's a very residential neighborhood, too. I mean, look at that over there. So, I mean, the skyline's beautiful. I don't think there's a cloud in the sky, is there?
I don't know. Not right now. It'll pick up it later.
And there's the play. Got Wisconsin.
I think Gittins has got it.
Yeah, Gittins got it right up the middle. That was a quick handoff. And guess what? She just picked up 14 yards. So that was a well-used timeout because Gittins was the last one on the field when they called that huddle. And so that was a well-used timeout. She gained her composure just enough to carry the ball for 14 yards. So there's another first down.
Is that artificial turf down there?
Yes, it's field turf. Not artificial field turf.
Field turf.
Yeah. It looks in pretty good condition. I was walking around on today. Didn't get a lot of black pellets in my shoes. So, I mean, that's pretty good. Usually you get tons of black pellets.
Yeah.
So they break the huddle. Van Kuyk's finishing off read the playoff for wrist coach. And they are in twins right, tight end left, with a receiver left as well. Single back is Gittins in the backfield. They're in the shotgun. There's another handoff to Gittins, and she's met in the backfield by number 40 for a one-yard loss.
And I do not. Oh, 40 is Arpin.
Yeah. The roster that Ms. Gaines is reading off of has the captains at the top. So she keeps on looking for 40, and it's not there. So don't worry about that. We'll get the names and numbers. We'll get the numbers right. The names we'll try.
Yeah.
So that was Kittens again on the carry, and she is going both ways. I know she's their starting linebacker, so she's already made a couple big plays. And I've seen her make a couple huge hits out there, so I hope she's not too worn out. I'd like to use her a little bit tomorrow. So we got Trips right now with the tight end. No tight end. Brenda's running right. Gittins' lead blocker makes a great block, and Van Kuyk reads it perfectly, cuts. There's four missed tackles, and the fifth person rides her out of bounds, and that's a gain of another 14 yards.
And that tackle was Wilcher. Aaron Wilcher.
Okay. Gittins basically blew her up and blew up somebody, and Van Kuyk cut right off of her butt and started using her speed to get that sideline. They did have the right angles this time, though.
They did.
Three tackles
yeah.
before she was finally wrapped up at the end. And that's another first down. There you go. Move the chains, change the field position. So they break the huddle. Let's see what formation they come out. They have... Looks like twins right, tight end left. Still doubles formation. Van Kuyk takes a snap. Hands off to 41, Gittins again. Nobody sees her. She's going to go.
She is gone.
Oh, 21, got the angle. Does she get her? She
yeah,
picked her up. That's a huge run. 41 to the 12-yard line. That's a 29-yard run right there by Gittins. I mean, number 74 was in the backfield with her back to her.
I believe the tackle was Mashad.
Mashad on the tackle. Gittins was gone, and 21 showed her speed, dragged her down from behind. So, I mean, that was a huge play. I mean, 74 was in the backfield. What's 74's name?
74 is Belize Belzy.
Belzy, Lindsay Belzy.
Yeah.
She was actually in the backfield, but she got turned around, and Gittins ran right by her because she was looking the wrong way. So it's 1st and 10 inside the 20 at the 12-yard line, 6:30 left. Wisconsin already up 22-0. And now they really got to buckle down. I don't think Wisconsin kicks field goals, so they really need to do something here. Flag on the play. It's going to be on the offense. And Van Kuyt is mad at herself. It's a delay of game, and that is a quarterback thing. It's a quarterback coaching thing, actually. Can't blame it all on the quarterback. Sometimes they have to wait for the coach to make up their mind, right?
Yeah. Blame as much on the coach as possible.
Coming from a player. So, coming from a coach.
On the play!
So, Van Kuyt, I think she's accepting responsibility for that because she was pretty mad that they didn't get the ball snapped in time.
Yeah. She's doing a little jumping up and down. So
we got 1st and 15 from the 17-yard line. Just over 5 minutes remaining in the half. Wisconsin's trying to put another score on the board and the game in the books. Here we go. That full house. Stunted left. Oh, look at that. Oh! Is that it? That's the play they needed? Did Montreal get it?
I think they did. I think Montreal recovered that.
That was, I think Van Kuyt was trying to do too much. No, they got the ball back. Yes, Gittins on the recovery. I think it was a tie, and they always get the ties to the offense.
All right, then.
So, is that number 21?
I think what happened 21. Is 21 was on the ball, and Gittins was on 21 with her arms around both of them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a tie right there. Van Kuyt was trying to do too much. They had the unbalanced formation left. They ran right. The option play, there it is right there. She finally watched the replay, and as she was trying to pitch it, as she usually does, she tries to get tackled and then pitch it. They knocked the ball out of her hand. Luckily, Gittins was Johnny on the spot, grabbed the ball back from 21, or at least tied it up enough to win it.
21 is Michaud.
Michaud again, the one that's actually saved the touchdown. So she had the chance to make two great plays on this drive.
Yeah. I think she made a great play. I think Gittins outpowered her.
Yeah.
You know, as those fumble recoveries go, it's the one who's got the stronger arm.
Yeah, because that scrum at the bottom of the pile is never fun. How many times have you been there?
Yeah, pinching.
Still have some bruises from that one, even though it's been a couple years?
I think they're okay now.
Okay.
Yeah, it's kind of ugly under there.
All right, so Wisconsin's calling a timeout. And with 4:30 left, it's 22-0. 2nd and 13 from the 15-yard line of the Montreal Blitz. I'm going to rest my vocal cords for 1 second. So excuse the silence. All right, and we're back now from the timeout. Wisconsin's breaking the huddle. Looks like Coach K, I saw him walk out to the offense and talk to them about what play they want to run. This is another new formation. They have two running backs in the backfield. Tight end right, twin receivers left. Fake handoff to Gittins. Nobody is open. Van Kuyt throws it deep. Boom! Touchdown number 24. 24 is Sherry Dieck. That was 32 on the coverage. Is that 33?
32 or
33? I didn't even.
32 is up there. That's nope. Nopes.
Nopes.
Sophie Nopes was on the coverage. 24 actually had an out route. She had an out route. She wasn't there. Van Kuyt waved at her to basically just take off. She took off upfield, and they gave her that extra step, and that was a perfect pass by Van Kuyt. So that's 3 touchdowns on the day for her now.
Yep.
2 running, 1 passing. It looks like they're going for 2. So Montreal's got to be just sweating right now. I mean, I talked to the defensive coordinator, Jamie Simniak, before the game, and he knew that number 8 was a dual-threat quarterback, and that was going to be it. And he did not underestimate his team. He's like, number 8 dual-threat, 41's a pounder. She drops back with 3 receiver sets. That's the same play they've been trying to run, a seam route near the end zone. Great coverage by number 7.
LeBros.
And number 4 just couldn't quite get it. That's Valerie Gushinsky. So There's another stop. Unfortunately, the two stops that they've had have both been on two-point conversions. They have a 4-touchdown lead right now at 28-0 with 4:23 and a half.
The pattern that's kind of developing here is every time Wisconsin gets the ball, they make at least two or three first downs, sometimes just off of one play, whereas Montreal takes them three plays, and sometimes they don't even get a first down. So,
yeah, they've had a lot of plays for just zero.
Yeah, or minuses.
Yeah, and I mean, I talked to them, and I was like, you know, the size difference. I mean, Wisconsin's a bigger team, you know, and I talked to Coach Simiak about that, and he's like, you know, we're used to it.
Yeah.
Every team that we play is bigger than us. He's like, when we play the Sharks, they were huge, you know, and they're a tier one team, but, you know, we fought, and we're used to playing bigger teams. Well, I think they're finding something about these Wisconsin ladies.
Well, their coach has a pretty strong history. I mean, he's had a number of successful seasons over the years.
Yeah, Coach Killian's been around for 40-plus years in coaching. So, and I mean, he's been coaching women's football for a long time. I know I've been around since 2002, and I coached against him back in 2003 with the Aftershocks.
Yeah.
He's been around women's football for a while, and he's very well respected across the league. And on the flip sideline, you got the Montreal coach. He has, I believe he stated, 28 years of coaching football experience, and the team's only been around for 4 years. So, I mean, that's pretty unique. And, I mean, they are the only ones returning to the championship game, but right now they're just being dominated by the Wisconsin Warriors. Here's Gittins with the kickoff. This is squid kick down the middle of the field, and it's picked up by 54 again, who takes it all the way back to midfield. It was a quick little squid kick that they were just trying to, you know, bounce around on the field and maybe give them some time to breathe, I think.
54 is Gunter.
Yeah, Gunter. So that's two returns that she's had. Very good returns. They're going to mark her out at bounds at the 48.5-yard line. So with 4:14 left in the first half, Montreal's got to get something going. They have to. It's just it's right now 28-0. They need something to build upon going into the half. They're going to get the ball. They got the ball to start the game, didn't they? So, yeah, they're going to have to go on defense
this
first.
This is their fifth series.
Yeah, fifth series, and great field position right here, and they have to take advantage of it. So out of the shotgun, quick pass, two receivers in the same area, and I think they're going to call pass interference. So that's lucky.
Well, there's a little upside to it.
Yeah.
They're just so close. Every single play, they're just so close. They're close to wrapping up. They're close to catching the ball. They're close to throwing the right spot.
And you know what? We're not playing horseshoes.
Yeah.
So close isn't going to get you any points.
It's just disappointing.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's the thing on that play. To me, it's like, you know, you have a play called. Who was on the right page?
Well, yeah.
Because, I mean, so they were doing that stop route to the wide receiver, and the slot receiver did a fade right into her route. And so, I mean, she basically screened her own person. Luckily, it looks like somebody's in the back. It's going to be a spot foul. Wisconsin's not happy right now. The pass interference is going to be on Straczynski for being in the back of the receiver. So it's not going to be a very long penalty as it's only 7 yards, but it's going to give them an automatic first down. So, hey, however you can get first downs, you got it.
Yeah.
So was that their third first down?
It is. It's their third first down.
Okay. So
they're still down one first down to the touchdowns because now Wisconsin has 4 touchdowns.
Well, hey, still a positive play for them. Even though the play wasn't executed right, it ended up being in their favor. So Wisconsin runs to the ball, or that's Montreal. I apologize. Montreal runs the ball out of the huddle. They got double set receivers. Sade is in the shotgun with number 34. Is it number 34 or number 30? I believe it's number 30 in the backfield. Right beside her, 4-man front for Wisconsin. They're in a zone right now. Throw the play. Oh, there's a great catch. And, oh, she couldn't do anything to get past Van Kuyk, but that right there is a 12-yard gain right there. They caught him in zone. Basically, she just squatted right behind the flats, made a great catch, ducked a tackle, and tried to run over Van Kuyk, but instead just put her on her back. Van Kuyk held on.
Now, they didn't give them an automatic first down.
Yeah, they did.
No, they're just moving it now.
No, that was an automatic first. Because the official did the signal. They might not have changed the sign, but it was an automatic first down. All right, and I just got handed something from the league. We're actually doing a webcast. You can actually watch this game, too. So you can listen to me and Ms. Gins up here in the booth and then watch it on Ustream TV. Search IWFL. So watching the game, webcast is an option you have. So those listening and other people make the trip, come watch the game. Got a first and 10. Saudi drops back. It's a little out route by the inside receiver. And number 44, Jody Von Spreckelson, tipped the ball away.
Is that 42? I'm trying to give you the intended receiver.
Yes, it was 42.
Okay, 42 is Mongo.
Mongo was on the intended receiver. She was the slot receiver. She did a little 5-yard out route. Saudia basically got the snap, took a couple steps, threw the ball there, but that was a great angle by Von Spreckelson. Yes, I hope she has a couple more plays because I like saying that name. So now we got second and 10. They're moving the ball. They've got two first downs, albeit one is a penalty. They're at the 33-yard line, second and 10, doubles receiver. She's under center this time. Boom, it's a handoff up the middle. It's a counter, Trey. Great move. She looks like she's going to get about 7 yards on that play. Is that number 30? That is number 30.
That's Bynes, yeah.
That Bynes? Bynes had a great run. It was basically a misdirection. It was a fake run right. She got the ball, started running right, cut back left behind her pulling tackle, and, I mean, there was nobody in the middle of the field. And she tried to put a move on the safety that came up, couldn't do it, but, I mean, that's a 7-yard gain. Now, this is what I'm talking about, third and three. That's how you create a drive, and with 2:54 left, this is what they need to go into halftime, something to build upon and say, hey, look what we did when we started executing our plays.
That tackle is number 95. Who is that?
95, that is, I'm just going to say Boya, because the first name has a lot of vowels and a couple Ys.
Yeah, whenever you get 10-digit vowels, you just let that go.
Looks like we're going to have a delay of game, and I'm not sure what play clocks they're using because they do have play clocks on the field, but I don't think they've run. For those of you unfamiliar with the IWFL rules, we play a 40-second play clock, and it goes from when you set the ball. When the ball is set, the 40-second clock rolls. So I'm not sure if the officials I can't really pay attention because the play clock doesn't ever run down here. But just before the 2-minute warning, they're not even going to huddle back up. It's now instead of 3rd and 3, they have 3rd and 8. So much for that great thing. Wisconsin is in a zone. They got no pressure. Saudi scrambles for no apparent reason right into the pressure. Throws a little dump pass. Caught! Just shy of the first down, though. It was intended for the short receiver, but number 80 came back and caught the ball.
Good pressure in the backfield by number 83.
Yeah, 83 was in the backfield, but the funny thing is, Saudia never had to move. She was on the outside.
Sort of ran towards her, yeah.
Yeah, she ran right into her. Luckily, she was faster, got around, and that is the 2-minute warning, and there's a huge play coming up. 4th and 1. So, I'd like to thank everybody for listening to the broadcast. Thank you, the ladies at WFB Talk, BJ in particular. She's up here running the switchboard for us, talking on the chat rooms. She'll probably get to with us at halftime, see if anybody has anything, questions, you know, what we can improve on. We'd be listening for that. That'll always help. We want to make sure we're telling you everything you want to know. So, but with 4th and a long yard, they put 2 on the board, but it's 1 and maybe another foot. So it's a huge play. I'm not sure what coaches are doing, but there's 4 coaches down there all talking about it, including the head coach down there. They're all trying to figure it out. You know they're not going to kick it. I mean, it's
no, this is the best chance they've had to get in the red zone all day.
So they're at the 25-yard line, 4th and a long yard to go. They basically have to get inside the 24 for the first down. They've already had this opportunity once, and they failed. This is a little bit less because they had to go a full 2 yards before, and they ended up less than a foot short. So, I mean, I'm not saying they should run the same play, but if they execute a play similar, they should get it. They take out their shifty running back number 30, and they put in number 81.
So that's Bynes, and Bynes was in, and now Gendron.
Okay, Gendron is in, and so they put in one of their bigger bodies in. I'm not so sure if they're going to spread it out or what. They do spread it out. They have 4 wide receivers and big number 81 in the backfield. She is 7 yards deep, and that's something I don't get. And Wisconsin, there's no way they're going up the middle. Yep, and Saudia has to call a timeout because they had 4 big bodies in the middle, and there's no way they're going to, you know, out-muscle them. I mean, I've already mentioned that Montreal is an undersized team. So, and if they were thinking of going up the middle, it wasn't going to work because Wisconsin had everybody there.
Yeah, it didn't look like it was going to go.
So,
I don't know why they start their running back so far back either.
Yeah, I've never understood that either. I mean, a lot of teams start 7 and 8 yards. I'm like, you know how long it takes for plays to develop? I mean, you need to hit that hole a little bit quicker. I mean, some of our most successful plays this year with the Quake were those quick hitters right up the middle. I mean, it doesn't really require a lot of detailed blocking. Just get in front of somebody and block them for a second.
Yeah, but you guys were running some freight trains up the middle. You get Ninja Martin that many steps and she'll kill three people.
Yeah. So here we go. They did not change any of the formations. Wisconsin has everybody in the middle. They have the outsides protected by the outside linebackers, but they're going right up the middle, and boom, there it is. That's the first down.
First down.
All right. Quickly went left. They put one-on-one, and number 81 won it, knocked over 40. Is that 47 who lost her helmet again? Did she lose? Oh, she does have her helmet on. So that's 47. That's
Chris Walker. Walker, yeah.
Walker was there, but by the time she actually made the contact with 81, she had already had the first down, and she did fall forward, which is exactly what a fullback should do, and the linebacker didn't lose because she stopped her on the play. But it was a win and another first down. That brings them up to 4?
I think that, yeah, right. Maybe 5.
There you go. So now they're in the shotgun with their double receivers, 156 remaining. They're looking to put some points on the board. There's an outside blitz. Saudia, run. She has the corner. Let's see if she has any speed. I don't know if you call that speed. Is that Mary Margaret's speed?
We'll give her speed.
Okay, we'll give her speed. I mean, she picked up a good chunk of yardage in that play, and she didn't hesitate. That's something you need from a quarterback. You don't want hesitation. She got a blitz from her right side, number 22, which is Nicole Halverson. She came off the corner blitzing Saudi. As soon as she dropped back, she saw it, ran to her left looking for receivers. As soon as she didn't see anybody there, she looked down, saw green, said, I'm going to put one foot in front of the other and get as many yards as I can, and she got 8.
Yep.
So
that's
great.
Probably the best position they've been in all day.
And look at that. She stopped the clock, too. So, I mean, now they can really work it. They have 2 yards to go for first down, and then they got to focus on the touchdown. I would concentrate on this first down. Double receiver set. Looks like they're throwing. 22's coming again. A little fade route.
Oh, overthrown.
Just overthrown again. How many times? And Saudia had to pick herself off the ground that time.
Yeah.
Number 22 got her that time. That was Nicole Halverson. I talked to the coaches, and if they say a single back in the shotgun, they're sending 6 people. And if you're in doubles, you only have 5 blocks, so somebody's going to be free. Those passes have got to be there. You got to take the hit. That's where the quarterbacks, I would say, earn their money. Standing in the pocket, delivering a perfect pass when you know you're going to end up on your butt.
I believe the intended receiver on that was Palmer.
That was Palmer again?
Just to give you a little name.
Okay, well, 42 is going out wide on the left. We got 80 split right, and then 34, which is the running backs in the slot. And then it's at 82 in the slot on the left.
Yeah, that's Palmer, I think.
All right, they're in the shotgun. Boom, there's a snap. Tons of pressure. Ooh! That pass was actually not a bad pass. I think the receiver should have had that one. She ran with her arms out in front of her too long. If she would have stuck him up at the last second, I think she would have got him, but that pass was incomplete about the 2-yard line, and guess what? Another 4th down.
That was Wilkerson Ford, the intended receiver on that.
42 was Wilkerson, or 34. Yeah, 34.
Why are they throwing 3 passes in a row when they...
I understand on 2nd and 3rd and short, but I don't... To me, I'd get the first downs. Let's get close to the end zone, and then we'll worry about having to score later.
It's like they're trying to get the touchdown right away instead of getting that first down. And
yeah, well, it's 4th and 2, and if they squander this opportunity, this falls on the coaches. So they need this first down. Let's see if they can get it out. They're going to run left. She's going to get the first down. She's going to get a little bit more yards. That's 81 again, bruising down the field.
Gendron,
and that was 24 on the tackle, and 24 is Diak again. She's a safety right now. And they had her dead to rights in the backfield. As soon as she made that one person miss, she had the first down, and guess what? First and goal now. So all that talking about bad coaching, hey, they knew what they were doing, huh? Who do we second-guess them?
I'll just stay a little bit more quiet.
It's okay. We're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah.
You're not allowed to be wrong when you're on the field anymore.
I've made a whole season of wrong, so we're good.
All right. Well, we got first and goal from the 8-yard line for Montreal, with 1:30 left on the clock, and they're down 28-0. So they're looking to say, you know what? We're not out of this. We're going to put something on the board. Saudi is under center. Got 3 receivers to the right. She's rolling right. Nobody's open. That's nice play by number 20. Coons was all over that. Is that 82? 82 was the intended?
F. Palmer.
Palmer was intended, and I think she was the motion person. They basically had twins, the four-way stick had running all day, twins right with a receiver spread left. That receiver left went in motion. She ran a nice little out route, but Coons was all over it. And Coons was man-on-man, so she actually ran across the field, stayed with her the entire time. So Wisconsin's showing that they have just as much speed as Montreal. So second and eight, or second and goal from the eight. They're in the shotgun, back to the double set that had been working so well. And Wisconsin has switched to a man. They're going to do a draw. It's going to go nowhere. And they lost. They did lose 2 yards, all the way back to the 10. So third and 10 from the goal. 81 is coming back in. 30's coming out. Now, I don't understand how the coaches aren't noticing this. Whenever they have that single back that's blitzing everybody, a draw's not going to work. Because you have to at least get a body on somebody.
Yeah, that
wouldn't let him go.
That's just an unattractive play. It just didn't look good from the get-go.
But you're a defensive person. You should love those kind of plays.
Well, it did look good. Now, if you look at it from that perspective, it was beautiful. You can't ask for more fun than 14 people on one. I think a referee jumped on the pile.
There you go. Well, this is huge right here. With 44 seconds left and rolling, we have third and goal from the 10-yard line. Double set. High snap.
Oh,
got the protection. There's the throw. Touchdown. Yes. We got a score. That was a great play and a flag. I think they're going to call roughing the passer.
Ooh. Well, you got to give it up. Montreal is just staying tough. I mean, for them to be down that many touchdowns to just stick with it and score right before halftime, that's got to be an encouraging thing for them.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to have nothing good happen for a whole half. And so this will be a little bit of a zinger, give them a little bit of satisfaction.
Yeah, the crazy thing is that was a busted play. I mean, it was a passing play, but the snap went over their head, and she tipped it twice before actually getting a hold of it. And by the time she got a hold of it, there was two people in her face.
Yeah.
The running back in the backfield, which was 81, did a great job picking one of them up. Sadia rolled to her left, scrambling, but her eyes were always downfield. And she found her in the back of the end zone. So.
She's doing a really good job at quarterback. Number 81 is Kindren.
Yeah, she made that huge block on that play, and it looks like they're actually going to kick the extra point. So with 32 seconds left before the half, number 20, who's number 20 for them? Is that Perot?
Yeah.
Perot is the extra point field goal specialist. Ball's down, ball's up, ball is through. 7 points.
All right.
We have a game. So 28-7. Wisconsin over Montreal, but Montreal has woken up. And, yes, it is only 10 a.m. So, I mean, what time is it now?
It's probably close to 11.
Yeah, it's almost 11, so, I mean, maybe they're late risers. Maybe they don't get out of bed usually that early. It's funny because he wanted to have practice at 8 o'clock yesterday. Oh, let me see if I can see that number. I couldn't see the number. They're throwing the replay on the board, and I didn't get the number. But she made a great sliding catch. I mean, Sadia just threw a bullet. She had two people she could have thrown it to, but she threw a bullet right through the middle, and it was a good, great catch. So they took it was a roughing the passer penalty on Wisconsin after the throw, so they're going to take that 15 yards and add it to the kickoff. I don't know what's going on right now. I'm trying to figure it out. Oh, there you go. They're marching it off now. So they're going to be kicking off from Wisconsin 45-yard line. So we'll get to see how their kicker is, because if this was Gittins, it would be probably through the uprights, and she'd be begging for 3 points.
She'd probably put it over there in one of those houses.
Oh, the wind is behind their back, too. So what would your philosophy be here? Since you've got this great field position right here, would you try an onside kick just to surprise them?
Oh, yeah.
Just kick it deep.
Just make it fun. Onside, be more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, why not? I mean, even if they get the ball, you don't get it. The ball's going to be around the 30-yard line, so they kick it deep and high, so it looks like they're going to try and she fumbled it, and she's going to bring it out of the end zone. That's just crazy talk if you're talking to me. They got her. They tackled her at the 7-yard line. That was number 27, right, 27, Straczynski. She touched the ball at the 2-yard line. It went over her head, rolled in the end zone. Now, IDFFL rules is that once it crosses the plane, You can down it. It doesn't matter if you touched it ahead of time.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
I was going to ask you that question. Tackle was by Arpin.
Arpin, number 40, Arpin made the tackle. So, I mean, she could have basically just grabbed it and taken a knee. But with 24 seconds left, Wisconsin has the ball at the 8-yard line. I doubt they're actually going to try and do something. But you never know. I mean, do you want to risk a pick six here? I mean, I would just either down it or right up the middle.
Yeah.
So, and they're going to down it.
I say throw the long ball. Have some fun.
They're in the victory formation.
Enjoy the game.
They're going to down it, and this is going to be the last play of the half. Van Kuyt takes the knee, throws the ball to the ref. Whitecap says thank you, and they're both walking to the sidelines now. So that's the first half. The clock will tick away. Wisconsin is leading 28-7 right now over the Montreal Blitz, and will be getting the ball to start the second half, which we will return to. Right now, I'm going to take a break. Deb's going to take a break, and then we'll come back right before halftime and see what's up, okay? So thank you very much. Tier 2 championship game, and at halftime, Wisconsin is leading the Montreal Blitz 28-7. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Hey, IWFL fans. Ever wanted to ask the legal question? Get to know your favorite IWFL players? Or watch IWFL videos? Or check in on your local team's fan club? Then IWFL Ning is for you. You can find it at www.iwflfootball.ning.com. The IWFL Ning site is a social networking site designed to allow the league, teams, players, and fans to connect in a professional online environment. Signing up is easy. Just go to www.iwflfootball.ning.com. Create your page and you're ready to go. Add friends, start a discussion, view pictures and videos, join a team group page, or read blogs. This is the place to spend a little time getting to know the IWFL, the best play here. Once again, it's IWFLfootball.ning.com.
Still. Yeah, no one's gonna
Hey, IWFL fans. Ever wanted to ask the legal question? Get to know your favorite IWFL players? Or watch IWFL videos or check in on your local team's fan club? Then IWFL Ning is for you. You can find it at www.iwflfootball.ning.com. The IWFL Ning site is a social networking site designed to allow the league, teams, players, and fans to connect in a professional online environment. Signing up is easy. Just go to www.iwflfootball.ning.com. Create your page and you're ready to go. Add friends, start a discussion, view pictures and videos, join a team group page, or read blogs. This is the place to spend a little time getting to know the IWFL, the best play here. Once again, it's IWFLfootball.ning.com.
Okay, we're back live here, getting ready to start the second half of the IWFL Tier 2 playoff or championship game. I did want to give some credit to Palmer. Let's see if I can give you Leah Palmer of the Montreal Blitz. She was the person who caught the ball in the end zone there for their touchdown. So she was the receiver that Sadia was able to connect with. So give you a little wrap-up if you're just joining us. The score for today's game, Montreal Blitz with 7, the Warriors with 28 points. We're winding down the halftime here with about just under a minute left. Montreal struggled a little bit in the first half, but was able to end the first half with an end score there and an extra point conversion, so that's where they got their 7 points. Wisconsin scored touchdowns on pretty much each one of their possessions. Montreal did receive the ball the first half, and so they'll be kicking to Wisconsin here to start the second half of the game. And Mr. Penn, you're back.
Yes, I am back. I had to get myself a Coke, and I also got myself a Frito Pie.
Excellent.
For those of you around the country who don't know what a Frito Pie, why don't you take that?
Frito Pie. Well, it's got beef in it, so I don't eat that. But Frito Pies, yummy chili on top of Fritos, lots of cheese, and it's very tasty, I hear.
Yeah, first time I heard of it, it was from a Texan. Reagan, there's a shout-out to you, Reagan Manning. We actually sold those at games. We had some night games before, and it was kind of cold. She's like, if you're going to cook chili, sell Frito Pies. Just put a scoop full of chili on some Fritos, and it was actually really good. So.
Very popular down here in the South, that's for sure.
Yeah, but I saw a lot of familiar faces in the stands. You got a lot of the all-stars that are playing this weekend in the stands, watching the game, trying to learn and get familiar with some teams that you might not ever really have a chance to see play. I mean, Tier 1 teams on the West Coast are probably never going to see either one of these teams until they bump up or the other one bumps down. So it's pretty cool to see this. So was unable to talk to some of the coaches at halftime, but I wanted to give a rundown of some of the things Coach K said. He said that pregame he was looking to taking advantage of Montreal's over-aggressiveness. And talking to the head coach of Montreal, he was basically expressing how aggressive they had planned to be. So I would say that Coach Killian had him read pretty right on that one, because they are taking advantage of that aggressiveness right off the bat. And something that Wisconsin's doing really well is they're changing up their sets almost every series. They're staying in that set for the whole series, but it's something new every single time.
Well, yeah, you can look at that. The first series, they were totally on the run. Van Kuyk took the ball every single time. And then the second set, they were all into the pass. H1 was successful, and then they mixed it up a little bit. Third series going both on the run and in the air, right?
Yep.
That's what my notes say here.
Well, I got some notes from the head coach of Montreal. He said that they had major changes planned for this game, and I would have to say that those major changes did not work. I think they're going to have to rely mainly on their passing game, especially when they're in zone. And he said that they had so much fun at the championship game last year and becoming championship and becoming champions, and then this year making it back to the championship game, that they want to make this as a tradition. I don't think this is part of the tradition he was talking about, though.
Well, probably not, but you have to give it up to Montreal staying in there in the first half, and then at the end, broken plays, some unpredictability, and yet they were able to make that their most successful series. So they're in it for the long haul, and they're not going to give up. So what do you see happening in the second half here?
Well, this is what I'm hoping not to see. I don't want to see Wisconsin go straight down the field, because if they go straight down the field, the game's over.
Yeah.
Montreal has to get a stop. from a coaching aspect, they have to get a stop and, you know, give them a chance to make this a game. You know, it's going to be interesting because I'm telling you, Wisconsin's tired. They're tired. You can tell them getting slower and slower, and Montreal is hopping up and down the sidelines coming out of their locker room. They're ready for this game to start back up and prove that they are a championship caliber team. And there's the kickoff by number 7, picked up at the 17-yard line by 24, who was holy cow. Who was that, 70?
I think so.
It was like a 70 or 78.
I don't think 70's playing.
That's 78 then.
78? Oh, goodness. That's Crozier?
Crozier. She, I mean, took a beeline straight for the kick returner and just waylaid into her. And that was a great tackle. I mean, single one-on-one, and the smaller person came out with a victory on that one. I mean, that was a great tackle right there. And now Montreal has the ball where they need it, on Wisconsin's territory, and they need to slow them down and stop them. So here we go.
LaBrosse had a pretty good kickoff there, too. That was probably one of their better kicks of the game.
Yep. So in the second half, Van Kuyt does what she's been doing in the first half. She goes left by herself, following her blockers, and Montreal did make an adjustment. Because
yes,
they were there, and they didn't over-pursue. They said, I'm going to make you run around us. And they strung her out to the sideline, tackle for no gain, flag on the field, and I guarantee you that's going to be holding. And they're waving the Montreal captain over. You know what? I don't think I'm going to give them 2nd and 10. I'm going to give them 1st and 20. Let's see what they decide. Captain is looking back to the sideline, and the coaches have no clue what's going on right now.
I didn't get any of the players in on that tackle by Montreal, did you?
No, there was just a big cluster of people.
Yeah, there was a...
We're going
to give that tackle to the right side of the defense.
Yeah, that's a coach call team tackle right there. So we got a holding by the left side of the offense, obviously, because there was too many Montreal people there.
Yep, trying to help out.
So they are actually going to take the penalty, 1st and 20 now. And the clock's winding. Wisconsin out of the huddle. And I would think they would be out of the huddle pretty quick. I mean, they're only running like 3 or 4 plays.
Yeah.
Van Kuyt up middle, Van Kuyt left, Van Kuyt right, Van Kuyt throw, right? That's about all of them?
Yeah, that's about it.
And there goes Van Kuyt right. She's got 3 lead blockers, and she cuts up the middle and gets that penalty back. So guess what? Penalty was nothing.
Yeah.
Because 2nd and 10 the same.
I think Mungie was in on the tackle there.
42.
Oh, no, it was DeGeis. DeGeis.
DeGeis was there?
Yeah, 43.
DeGeis.
DeGeis. DeGeis, sorry.
That's okay. I'm here to correct you. You can correct me.
Yes, I will.
Oh, look at this. Subs. Montreal's going to be licking the lips now, I would say. 4 people just subbed out for Wisconsin. And, 41's limping to the sideline. Limping. They're going straight to her ankle and working on her ankle right now. And she is huge for their team. Even Montreal defensive coach know that. Cause it's like 41 is a pounder. We can't sleep on 41. So they come out, twins right, tight end left, slot left, and it looks like it's going to be a delay game.
Yep.
And it doesn't seem like that took 40 seconds, but, I mean, there it is. But they have the play clock now working. It is at 0. And I'm telling you, none of the quarterbacks out here are going to be familiar with looking at a play clock. So, I mean.
Well, and it's still reading 24. They're setting it at 25.
Well, after a penalty, it is 25.
Oh, okay.
After a penalty, it does. You only have 25 seconds. Change of possession and penalties, it goes to 25. But after the end of a play, it's 40 seconds from the ball, from when the ball is spotted. So we got Trent left, running back left, single receiver right. Shotgun formation as always. Van Kuyt's going left to the trip, so she's got a ton of lead blockers. 27 has a great angle on her and forces her to the sideline with a great tackle. That's only going to be a 2-yard gain. Is that 22 on the...
Well, you said 27 is Wilshire.
She forced her out, but she didn't make the tackle.
Okay, 22 would be Polly.
Polly made the tackle. 27 took a great angle and made Van Kuyt go straighter to the sideline, and 22 wrapped her up and took her down. So she did end up gaining a couple yards in that play, but guess what? It's 3rd and 11 now. 3rd and 11. So that's a 4-yard gain, but I think Montreal will take that.
This is one of the better defensive stance Montreal's had so far.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they can't let them just drive down the field this time. So.
No.
But see, and
first half, anything Wisconsin wanted to do, they did it.
Yep, and it looks like they're going to have a hard time getting this play off. I'm going to start paying attention to that shot, that play clock. Yeah, they're going to give them another play of game.
That didn't seem like 40 seconds.
That
either.
Was not 40 seconds at all. They're doing that wrong. have to talk to somebody about that because they should have 40 seconds. So here we go. We got shotgun formation. Van Kuyk's all by herself. It's a quick kick. She's changing field position with nobody back deep. On 3rd and 15, they punt. And that was a smart play. Actually, Coach K told me that they do that to change field position. He said, we will quick kick to catch people off guard and get a good punt, so we change field position. So instead of trying to run something on 3rd and 15 and then having to punt to somebody, they kicked it on 3rd down and turned the ball over and flipped the field. Flipped the field. They had no chance to return the ball. So now it's 1st and 10 for Montreal. Guess what? That's a win for Montreal right there. That's a win for Montreal. They got 1st and 10 from the 36-yard line, and besides the kneel down at the end of the half, that was first time that Wisconsin could not score.
Yep.
So there's a win right here, and here's this drive right here is very important for Montreal. They don't necessarily have to score, but they have to prove that they can move the ball.
Is Gittins back in there? I think she is.
I can't tell. I'll watch.
I think she's right there.
Oh man.
No.
She's still missing her. Gittins is not in there. I do not see her. No, is that her up there? She's up top.
Yeah, she's limping over.
Yeah, she's got lots of white tape around her ankle. So Gittins is back in. They had a double set. They tried going to that deep post. It was wide open this time, and Sadia overthrew her, not by the 1 or 2 feet we were looking before. That was a
1 or 2 yards, 3 yards.
Couple yards ahead over her head. She was wide open, though, so if she would have caught that, that would have been a good 25, 30-yard gain.
Well, Coach K has to have a lot of confidence in his defense if he's going to punt the ball down there, even with Gittins out. So
we'll see. Right now, they're in zone. Wisconsin's in zone right now, covering that double receiver set, and they need to take advantage of those quick passes. There's the interception. 24 catches it on the interception, going down the right sideline and knocked out of bounds by number 40. That's 24. Jerry Dieck. It was just a horrible throw. She was triple covered. She overthrew her, and I mean, Dieck didn't even have to really be a football player to catch that. She just had to stand there and stick her haul up and catch it.
Yeah. That was Arpin on the force out of bounds.
Arpin on the force out. So that momentum right there is huge. The pendulum swing is back in Wisconsin's favor. They are in scoring position at the 26-yard line, 1st and 10. Van Kuyk's calling the play. They're out of the huddle right now. Gittins is staying in there. I'm surprised that they would actually risk that because I know how huge she is on defense. So we got Twins right. They hand it actually to Gittins, and there's a huge hole in the middle, and she is boom, bang, and all the way down there. There's another 14-yard gain for her. Now they're inside the 15 to the 13-yard line with another first down.
I think Wilshire was in on that tackle.
Wilshire in on the tackle?
A couple others on. I didn't see their numbers.
Yeah, that play has been very effective. I haven't really caught the blocking scheme because I'm watching Van Kuyk and her steps and everything like that, but that blocking scheme works perfectly up the middle. I mean, there's nobody there for 5 yards. So with 11:51 in the third quarter, Wisconsin up 28-7 after having to do a quick kick punt, they find themselves in scoring position after the first turnover of the game. Van Kuyk has a motion. 24 is in motion. That's Dieck. And Van Kuyk's going right up the middle. There's a flag on the play. I think that's going to be – they didn't stop the play because it's going to be offside.
Yeah.
The defense. So we got offsides on the defense. Van Kuyk basically went up the middle, and I'm not sure if he'll take this. I mean, I think she gained 5 yards on the play. So, I mean, do you want 1st and 5 or you want 2nd and 5?
1st and 5 sounds better to me.
Give me 3 downs to get 5 yards. Take some time off the clock. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to take 5 yards from the penalty, giving them 1st and 5 from the 8-yard line. And they can get a 1st down. I think they need to get just inside the 3-yard line. So now we got.
So that punt option on 3rd down is going to play out really well for Wisconsin.
Yes,
usually we don't think of a punt as being an offensive move, but it really is.
Yep, and there's that quick handoff to Gittins up the middle who bowls over
yeah.
somebody inside the 2-yard line, possibly the 1. That's number 20.
So that's Perot that just got bowled over.
Yeah, she held on. She held on.
Yeah,
she didn't
did.
Have to go for a ride, but she did get probably stepped on a couple times.
Yeah, she might have some hoof prints there.
Yeah, that was a great run right there. And it looks like they just marked it inside the 2, so it's 1st and goal for Wisconsin. as they break the huddle. Looks like they're going to have multiple receivers again. Yep, they got tight end left, receiver left, and then two receivers to the right. Van Kuyk's under center. I expect her to go right up the middle. 24 goes in motion. They snap the ball, and she is going right up the middle and walks into the end zone.
Yeah, that couldn't have been easier. Maybe if she had an umbrella to keep the sun off.
Yeah, it'll look cooler that way. So, yeah, that was a – you can just tell. I mean, the way they're doing their offensive sets, you know, you can kind of tell when it's going to the running back because the running back actually lines up behind the quarterback, like a foot behind her, and then when she's not getting the ball or she's blocking for Van Kuyk, she lines up in front of the quarterback.
Well, what I can tell you about Wisconsin is having watched the aftershock play them back in the day, from up here, it is very easy to see the play develop. The way that it looks from a defensive point on the field is entirely different and is very confusing. The key to their offense is that they just misdirect so much and there's so much activity, it's very hard to follow the ball when you're on the field. Up here, it's a breeze.
Up, and there's a fumble.
Oh,
yeah, well, there's no way that's going to happen. That's just crazy. They said no good.
I don't know what they would call that.
Okay, well, here's what happened. They lined up with trips left, and they did the option play right. Van Kuyk got hit, tossed the ball back. It hit the ground. It's a backwards pass, so that's a lateral. So it's a fumble.
Yeah, it's a lateral.
And then got kicked into the end zone, not intentionally, but that's maybe what the officials are calling it, and Montreal player missed it, and Gittins just fell into the end zone for the two-point conversion. They called it no good, but unless they actually call Gittins for kicking the ball, which she didn't kick it intentionally, it's no good.
I don't know what they're calling that. I mean, it was definitely a lateral.
Yep.
It was an unintentional. I mean, she advanced the ball, but it's because she couldn't get her hands on it. Her foot hit it.
He made the right call. He said it was an unintentional kick, and its two-point conversion is good. So, yeah, that was the right call right there. Because as Gittins was going down for the ball, the Montreal person tried hopping on the ball, and the ball just squirted out. Gittins high-stepped over her, and it was just her and the ball in the end zone. She just fell on it. So two-point conversion, good. That makes the score 36-7. And there's 10:35 left in the third quarter. They still haven't changed the board to reflect that. Maybe they just – there it goes. So 36-7. Montreal's getting the ball back after the last possession had a turnover. So right now the head coach is talking to the officials. He was – I saw him doing that little leg motion saying it was kicked, but I'm telling you, it wasn't intentionally kicked.
Gittins put the ball in there. I was giving a little bit of information to those of you who are following us on Twitter. We're feeding them some information.
And don't forget what we told you about the league. If you want to see some of these plays, you can always watch for the Ustream.tv, search IWFL, look up the game, check it out, and you can decide for yourself if that was a legal play or if she intentionally tried to kick it, all that fun stuff. So
yeah, we took a look at that at halftime. I don't know if you were in here, but we saw a very, very nice picture of the 30-yard line. And so it's pretty clear, the picture, and it's impressive that we're able to do that. IWFL has a lot of good things going, and that live streaming is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know that Dallas did it last year, and that's how I watched some of their games.
There are a few teams that actually do the live streaming.
Yep, so here goes Gittins, wrapped ankle and all, boots the ball, low line drive kick, which bounces off 32's face mask. She finally picks it up, cuts up field, huge blocks. The 32 doesn't exactly have the speed, but she gets dragged out from behind by number 4. That's Valerie Fischinski.
Nobes is number 32.
Nobes is number 32. Yeah, the ball probably would have gone over her head to one of the deep returners, but she reached up for it. It bounced off her face mask forward. She picked it up after a couple more bounces and managed to advance at 12 yards. So it's not a negative play.
A little bit of a basketball maneuver maybe, bouncing it up the field.
All right, another huge possession for Montreal. They ended the half on a great note, and then immediately upon getting the ball, threw an interception. So here we go. You know, it's getting hotter, and Wisconsin's platooning. You can tell they're tired because they're going to zone right now. So Wisconsin's going to zone. Looks like they have a man under 2 deep. And Montreal's going to good under center with 2 receivers to each side. And they're going to run the ball right up the middle, and that's not a bad play because there's a huge hole, and she's down on the left sideline. She broke a tackle, and Van Kuyk had to make a touchdown-saving tackle. That was a huge gain from the 41 to the 34-yard line. So that's 9 plus 19 equals 28-yard one right there. That was huge.
Gendron. Gendron was the carry.
Gendron, okay. What's her first name?
What is it, 81? You said 81, right?
No, that was...
Leah Palmer, 82?
No, 82. Yeah, it was 81. Yeah.
Okay, so it's Melina Gendron.
Yeah.
And Coons almost brought her down about 8 yards earlier, but that was the missed tackle.
Yes. She was the corner covering the wide receiver, and when she broke outside, if she hadn't slowed her down, Van Kuyk probably had to take a different angle, but she slowed her down, and then Kuyk wrapped her up very, very quickly. So here we go. It's double set. They're still in a zone formation. They're giving a lot of favoritism to the left side, and they run it right up the middle. She's going to lower her shoulder, but that's not going to work. Once again, that sprint 8 yards deep is not going to work. That's
Gendron again.
Gendron again on the play. It was multiple Wisconsin people on the tackle. I believe that's the 28th, 28th, yep, Jessica Plumley. She was in there on the wrap-up, and so was 22, Nicole Halverson. They were all in there. The way that Wisconsin lined up right there, it looks like they had a shift on, and everybody was to the left side of the formation. The only person on the right side of the formation was the defensive end. But they ran that way, but because it took so long to get there, the rest of the team had already made it there. If they had just done a quick little hitting play, it would have been wide open. And that's going to be a delay game, isn't it? Nope. Oh, I guess the clock's not working right now. Okay. So there are two receivers to each side. Sadia's under center. She needs to hurry up and snap the ball because I saw him get the 10-second warning. And here we go. Still a zone with Van Kuyk left, 24 right. There's a quick hitting run, just like I said, up the middle to number 40. She actually reached the ball forward, and I don't think the official saw that. She reached the ball forward to get a couple extra feet on that one. Looks like one official marked it, the other one didn't. So they're down to the 28-yard line inside 28.
Yeah, that's Arpin on that carry.
Arpin on the carry, and that was a very strong carry right there.
Yeah.
She gained about 6 yards, brings up a very manageable third and four. It looks like a short four, too. And now, last time they had a very short third down, they got that penalty. So let's make sure they get out of the huddle. They haven't changed much from this double formation. It was highly successful on their scoring drives. Let's see what can happen here. Look at the favoritism they're giving to that side. A huge hole. And they run right at it. And 47 fills it very nicely.
Yeah, that was beautiful coverage.
Yep, and so now it's going to be fourth down again. Chris Walker made a huge – I mean, she's playing middle linebacker, and they have three defensive linemen stunted left, like from the center over. And then there's nobody but a defensive end, and the defensive end, they're leaving two gaps uncovered, 47 to cover. And she's doing a remarkable job doing it. So they bring in 81, the Bruiser again, fourth and three, 7:30 left and counting. The Warriors are up 36-7, and Montreal's got to get moving. I mean, they got to get in and out of this huddle. This is the play right here. It hurt that they let Wisconsin score as quickly as they did, but they need to score immediately now. They can't turn the ball over on downs. They have to score. Once again, Wisconsin's got that huge shift on. There's a snap. Nobody's open. Sadia waits. Overthrows a receiver. Nobody was covered. Nobody was open. That was great coverage by Wisconsin right there. Nobody was covered. Sadia had no pressure. She could have sat back there a little bit longer. But
yeah, it was a beautiful pass to the 10-yard line, but nobody was even remotely close for 10 yards.
I think she was coming out of her break around the 18 still.
And yeah.
So that right there hurts. And unless they get a turnover right here, I'm saying that this is going to be – the rest of the game is going to be for pride.
Did that look like a mix-up? Did that look like somebody got beat on the line? What happened there?
No, she had no pressure. There was nobody there. She just – I think they have they're a timing-based offense.
Well, but did somebody get hit on the line?
Did
they jam pretty hard?
What they're doing is they're playing two over. They have two safeties over, and then they're jamming with the linebackers. That's why they only have that one middle linebacker there.
Well, Walker's filling that gap. That one play, it looked like she was there from the beginning. She filled it so quickly.
Yeah, it's like a decoy. They're setting it up.
Yeah, of course, they've got 7 or 8 yards to move into that gap, too.
There's Wisconsin, the shotgun. They had a motion, and Van Kuyk goes nowhere. She gets a snap, a little fake handoff, goes up the middle, and she loses a couple, maybe feet, maybe inches. I don't know, away from set it. She lost a couple inches, yeah.
So
it works, right? But that just stopping them doesn't really help. They need a turnover. They need to force Wisconsin into mistakes. And Wisconsin is a very well-coached team. I mean, how can you else explain going, to the championship game with only 19 people? Obviously, the 19 people know what they're doing.
Well, those 19 people have a lot of heart, a lot of endurance, and they're well coached.
Yep. So you got Trips left. Van Kuyt takes a snap and all goes towards Trips, bounces outside. Great blocking. There's a huge hole, and it looks like she got tripped. And tripping is legal, everyone. Just so you know, you can trip the runner only. And I think somebody threw a leg out there and tripped her because nobody had hands anywhere near her.
She may have even tripped over her own player. That one of the players was knocked down over on that left side. She may have even tripped over her. She's so fast, she'll just run over whoever's in the way.
As we saw in that one punt. So, but, I mean, instead of, you know, third and long, she turned that quick hitting play into third and two. So this is a make-or-break moment for Montreal right here. You know who's going to get the ball. Van Kuyt gets.
Let's see.
Which puts your money on? Boom, they're gets it. They're dead play, and it's huge. Again, I don't think she's got less than 7 yards on that play yet. It's a quick little trap play, and I don't think they're pulling anybody, but it's basically a trap play where you're letting one person go, and you're blocking somebody else. So the person darts through the line of scrimmage, and then it's like, well, where'd the ball go? They're used to hitting somebody, and it's a huge play to the left side A-gap.
Well, Gittins, as you said, gets 7-8 yards on that. It looks they execute it exactly the same way every time, but it works every time.
So here they go. They got Twins left, tight right, receiver right, one in the backfield in the shotgun, and Kikes calling out signals, gets snaps, hands it again, and they run it to the opposite side this time, but look at that. There's 8 yards, 8.5 yards. That same play, they just ran to the opposite side for the first time.
She has quite a bit of speed. I mean, she's deceiving in how she looks. She doesn't look like she would be quite that quick, but her first step is pretty fast. She just picks up speed as she goes.
Yes, she does. Yeah, regular old bowling ball running down the field.
She's rolling and going.
All right, so here we go. We got second and two with 4:24 left and rolling. Got Twins right. Motion 24 is going in motion, comes across. Kite calls out the cadence, goes left, runs right up the middle, and doesn't look like she's going to get much, but it's enough for the first down. Multiple blitz players on the tackle. Some of the last ones are to get up. 54. That's Gunter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gunter was in on the tackle then, and she's coming out right now. I think something broke on her helmet.
Yeah.
Yeah, her strap broke on her helmet. That's why she's got to come out.
Nobody was low on that play. Not a single Montreal player was low. They were all standing straight up.
And that's very unique because they are a small team. You know, we already have the advantage of having a lower center of gravity. You know, put a shoulder pad in that thigh pad, take it to the ground. So we got Twins right. There's that same tray play again, and it looks like they have it in the backfield. That's the first time she's got less than 7 or 8 yards. And you know what? It's still positive. They got a whole yard and a half on that play when it was dead to rights in the backfield.
I believe in that person who got that tackle was Zubon Zeri, whatever her name is, Adriana.
32?
23.
Zupont, yeah.
Yeah. Zupont, I think one of the key orchestrators of that breakaway play that Gittins keeps getting is Belzy, number 74. I believe she's the one that I keep seeing. She just rounds around. It might be 54. No, it's Gunter.
No, wait.
It would be on yours. I don't know why I'm looking at my Ross because I'm ridiculous.
There it is again.
Yeah.
Push 96 getting off of. 96 got a huge push, and that was Ann Wagner.
Yeah, 54 and 96 are just monsters down there.
54, that's Tammy Johnson. That's the center right there. Tammy Johnson's the center, and they're just getting a huge push off the line of scrimmage. And, I mean, Ann Wagner is 5'1". I mean, she's tiny. Tiny. So she's just getting a great push off that line right there. Number 5 is also on the O-line, and that's Lonnie Christensen. So much credit goes to the offensive line, otherwise you wouldn't be able to run this many plays right up the gut with such success. We're coming down on 2 minutes of the third quarter. Wisconsin moving the ball, looking to put their 6th TD on the board, and it looks like it's going to be a false start. So on 3rd and 5, they get a false start. Now they're going to have 3rd and long. And I guess usually the team with the most penalties struggles, but, I mean, obviously – they're winning this battle.
Yeah, this is a case of the team that's doing the most gets the most penalties.
Yeah.
It can go either way. I definitely think that we're seeing a little bit of fatigue setting in for Wisconsin at this point because they're a little bit slower. Their step's a little slower. They're still dominating Montreal, but they're definitely moving a little slower this half.
Yeah, and I asked them before the game. I was like, are you going to try and slow down the game some so you can stay fresher? And they're like, no, we're just going to run our game. And, you know, we don't have to play next week, so it's okay. Van Kuyko's left his option to Gittens, and Gittens gets the ball. Is she going to make the corner? She's going to make the corner, but it doesn't look like she's going to get to the first down marker. And it's going to be fourth down and probably about five. Yep, fourth and about five. That was a very quick play. Montreal did a great job of forcing the pitch immediately. And Gittens got the ball and tried to get to the corner, but was unable to get there. And there's subs coming in, so maybe they will be punting it.
Yeah, I think number 23, Zupon.
Zupon again over there on the tackle.
In on that, pushing her out of bounds.
And she's coming out, and 32 is going back deep. 32 is Nobes. Nobes is going back deep, and I don't understand that right there because she's inside the 10-yard line. And the rule is you stand on the 10-yard line. If it goes over your head, you leave it alone. So Wisconsin burns a timeout, and with a 30-point lead, that's probably not going to come back to haunt them, but you never want to take timeouts for special teams unless it's like a game-changing special teams play. I mean, special teams is very important, especially in women's football, because, I mean, they can change the momentum of a game single-handedly. I mean, we had two kickoffs returned for touchdowns on the Quake this year, and we had, I think, four or five punt returns for touchdowns. So special teams is huge. So, and if you can spend the amount of time that you need, subbing in and out is just rough, man. It's quite unique for me as an all-star coach to deal with all these different players subbing in and out and not knowing their names or just knowing them by face. Okay, I saw you. You're supposed to be on this, aren't you? So, I mean, yesterday's all-star practice was absolutely cool as hell. Because, I mean, I always work with my team as like a rabbit, you know, make the team chase me, stuff like that, to see how they're developing. And on kickoff team, when we were doing kickoff, it was just me. I had no blockers, and I got the ball, and I saw everybody coming down. I was like, that's what a kickoff team is supposed to look like. Holy cow.
Yeah.
You know, you have 11 all-stars running down the field. I was like, okay, I'm just going to stand here right now. So, here we go. Looks like Van Kuyk's back to punt. They punt. Oh, they're going to go for it. It's a fake. And she passes the ball. Looks like it's going to be a penalty on Wisconsin, though. So, but it was a fake. They basically ran an out route to number 24, Dick. Van Kuyk fake like she's going to punt and just throw a little quick out route for, you know, a 20-yard gain. But it was legal formation from the get-go. I mean, I could tell everybody was still moving. So now it's going to be 4th and 10. Try it again. So there's another penalty. But that penalty is a little bit different because that takes away a first down. And I don't know if you can do two fakes in a row, can you?
Well, you can. I was thinking they should just do it again. But, you know, I do stupid stuff all the time. I ride a motorcycle, so, you know, whatever.
I don't think riding a motorcycle is necessarily a stupid thing as long as you have a helmet on, right? Yeah. See, no response. Okay, we're just going to leave that alone then. Actually, I had somebody follow me yesterday that had a motorcycle and they had no helmet. I was like, well, he's brave. So, I mean, you don't want to be Roethlisberger.
Yeah, you got to do it once in your life, so that's a rule.
Yeah, I think I was 14 when I got to ride my first Harley. That was pretty cool. Same year I got to fly a plane, too, so.
Now, that's something I got to work on.
I don't know if the ADT people should be flying planes.
Oh, we're fine. There's a lot of room up there. It's fine.
It's a big open sky. The people underneath I'm worried about.
Oh.
All right, and guess what? Another penalty for a delay game, and they switched out Van Kuyk. Van Kuyk was no longer the punter. They put Gittens back there. And so they went from 4th and 5, fake punt, first down, to 4th and 15 now.
You know, that might have been a tactic because Gittens has got such a leg on her. Maybe they want a little bit more.
No, she was angry back there. Gittens spot.
I think they should let Gittens try a field goal from there.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe with a strong ankle, she'd probably get into that. So here we go.
Of course, it's against the wind. That probably wouldn't be the best direction.
And that is a really good punt. Bounces inside the 20. It's picked up at about the 14-yard line. Great way to use your blockers, 32. Gittens misses the tackle, and she is down the sideline. 47 had to push her out of bounds. That's Chris Walker. That was a huge return because That ball, they punted from the 47-yard line all the way down to inside the 20.
That was Nobes on the
return. Nobes. Huge return. She was running right, and Wisconsin had her pinned. And she waited, pointed to this person, and then picked up that block and just cut down the sideline. And that was a great return and great field position once again for the Blitz, something they need. So, and that's the end of the third quarter. Now I'm going to watch it on the replay board because that's pretty cool. Let's see. We're not going to be able to see the numbers because it's a little bit smaller, but we can see a different angle. 54, that was Gunter that made the great block on the corner. And when she cut up, let's see who made the tackle. Look at that switch angles. That's pretty nice. And that was Chris Walker pushing around. Even if Chris Walker hadn't got her, number four, Pashinsky actually had a good angle on her too. So with the end of the third quarter, the Warriors lead 36-7 over the defending Tier 2 champions. We still have one more quarter to play. But let's take a break for a brief second, and we'll be back to you momentarily.
Hey, IWFL fans. Ever wanted to ask the legal question? Get to know your favorite IWFL players? Or watch IWFL videos or check in on your local team's fan club? Then IWFL Ning is for you. You can find it at www.iwflfootball.ning.com. The IWFL Ning site is a social networking site designed to allow the league, teams, players, and fans to connect in a professional online environment. Signing up is easy. Just go to www.iwflfootball.ning.com. Create your page and you're ready to go. Add friends, start a discussion, view pictures and videos, join a team group page, or read blogs. This is...
All right, we're back, and Montreal is quickly under center and ready to go. They have their doubles formation back out. Sadia is under center. That's number 1-6 under center. She's going to take the snap after reading, drop straight back. Plenty of time, runs a nice little out route, tackled immediately. But that's exactly what we've been saying all game. The receivers are open if she gets the ball to her, but they're going to get tackled immediately.
Yeah. Was that Palmer? I think that was Palmer.
82, yeah. 82 is Palmer, right? And that's 24. Diak, who's been all over the field. Diak and Straczynski has been everywhere for their DBs. I mean, they've been playing man a lot. But now they sub out. Number 31 comes in, and that's Brenda Milbrath. And who's she giving a break right now? She gives Straczynski a break. And you know that, you know, they got to be pretty hot on there. There are 1, 2, 3, 7 people on the sideline, 8 people. So we'll see what's going on. Montreal's in the shotgun now with the double set. Quick snap. Blitz by Gittins. Dump over the middle. And Saudi got leveled by Gittins on that one. And if she would have had a second more to throw the ball, the receivers were open. She just couldn't because Gittins came off that left corner real quick and boom.
Yeah, she was lucky to get rid of that. That could have easily been a sack.
Yeah. And quarterback's got to be smart because sometimes it's better just to take a sack and loft the ball over the middle of the field like that. Luckily, they're in man. If they were in zone, that would have been a pick. So with third down to go, third and 6, maybe 7 yards, break the huddle. They're still in that doubles formation. It's been the most successful formation they've run. That's why I think they're sticking in it. I know the coach wanted to run more, but you got to give them what they give you. So they're in man formation. Oh, my gosh, 95 busted right through the middle. Gittins is putting the pressure on. And she throws it. Oh, drops pass. Holy cow, 95. That's Boye. She busted through the line of scrimmage, and Sadia had to start running immediately.
Yeah, Wilkinson Ford had that in her hands as she went out of bounds. I don't know if she had both feet in, but that definitely was close to being a catch.
And she still would have been about a yard or two short, but that's much better than, you know, 4th and 6.
Yeah.
So here they are. This is another huge play. And you really can't. Punt's not even an option right now. I mean, you're not playing to save face. You're playing to win. And, I mean, they can't just try and put them back deep and hope they drive the whole field, you know. They want to score, too. So, you got doubles right here. Sadia's in the shotgun, and she's got to know people are coming. And here they all come, right at the middle again. Nobody's trying to get open.
Oh,
that's just, you know, I mean, she ended up gaining a yard on a play on the quarterback scramble, but nobody was trying to get open. 80 just stood there, and everybody else didn't see the quarterback scrambling. And I don't know what the Montreal coaches are thinking, but, I mean, every time they're in the shotgun, they're blitzing. they need to be pumping some quick routes, not running these 10, 12-yard routes across the middle. She's going to have to roll one way or the other. So, there's
a
turnover down.
Corbell is limping now, too, over here on the sideline. Number 80, she's barely able to walk on the sideline, so maybe that's why she was standing there.
Okay.
You said she was just standing there?
Yeah.
She's bent over now. She might have twisted an ankle or something in that play because she's not.
Yeah, because she had like a 10-yard stop route, and she stood there and then didn't roll. Cause if she would have started rolling to the sideline with her quarterback could have drilled it there.
Yeah.
So there goes Van Kuyk and Gittins right at the middle. This time they actually have it. They have it red, but she's still going to get 2, maybe 3 yards on that play.
Is that Nobes on the tackle? Let's see, 54. Gunter.
Gunter's on the tackle, yeah. I was getting right at the middle. You know, they kind of just handed it off to her right at the middle, and there she goes. So, I mean, this game is kind of what I anticipated, truthfully. You know, I knew the Warriors were a very good team. To me, they should have been in Tier 1. But that's up to the league and the team's delegates and owners because, you know, the tiers are based on budgets. You know, and team size. So, obviously they don't have, you know, a lot of players, which you can tell, but they know how to play football, and they're proving it right now. It looks like they're going to walk away with the championship. There goes Van Kuyk going left, makes a couple moves, takes 4 people to tackle her. 32.
Nobes is in there.
56.
That's Vieri.
And 95. Valeris.
95 is their sisters.
Oh, the sisters, there you go.
Stephanie and Audrey. Valeris, I guess.
All right, well, there's a great play by the sisters. You know, brings up 3rd and 3. So that was a pretty good gain by Van Kuyk.
I'm going to assume they're sisters.
They are. I was actually told they were sisters.
Okay.
All right. I don't remember. It was so long ago that they told me how to pronounce that name.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the double L rule.
I don't either. If it was California, it'd be Spanish, but I don't think there it is. So.
Somebody spoke to me in Spanish at practice yesterday. I was like, just because I'm from Southern California doesn't mean I know Spanish.
Yeah.
There's a snap. Van Kuyk's going towards a strip formation. Looks like they have her there, but she's going to slide off and maybe have a first. No, she's going to be short. I think she's going to be short. She actually was – they had her dead to rights in the backfield, but she did a spin move and stretched her 5'9 frame out and tried to pick up those extra couple yards, and she looks like she's going to be close. I know they're not going to punt, but, I mean, it's either going to be 1st and 10 – from the 42-yard line, or it's going to be 4th and inches from the 42-and-2-inch-yard line.
I think Wilkinson Ford was at least instrumental in that tackle. I think she's the one who wrapped her up.
Well, that was a great tackle because it was a one-on-one tackle right there. I mean, she got spun on and still made the tackle. So with 11:50 left, we got a measurement coming up and then a really big decision, or not so much decision, but play, for defense coordinator Jamie Simniak and his Montreal Blitz to stop them, and they gave him the first down. So all that's out the window. 1st and 10 from the 42-yard line with 11:50 left and up 36-7. So there's that's all Wisconsin really needs to do right now is just keep getting first downs. They don't even really need to worry about scoring. Just put the game away by eating up the clock.
Well, that's what they've been doing all game, getting those first downs.
Yep. And it's funny because all the coaches I talk to around are like, we need to have 1 or 2 big plays a game. And I'm like, why do big plays matter? It's first downs that move you down the field.
Yeah.
You know? Then you just got to outplay them in the end zone, red zone. So there's Van Kuyk, he's going to throw. There's that seam route caught by Coons across the middle. That was a great catch. Great coverage by, I can't see her. Turn around.
I think it was Perreault, but I'm not sure.
27.
Nope, that's not Perreault. That is Wilshire.
Wilshire. She was right there. That was just a great catch by Coons. Reached up with her 10 digits, grabbed the ball, and got tackled immediately. But that's another first down right there. Another 12-yard gain, so it's 1st and 10 from the 30-yard line.
Both of the key receivers on the Warriors make receptions look effortless. I mean, they just reach up there. It's just like, here, let me grab that. It's just a beautiful thing to watch them catch the ball.
All right, they're in that trips right formation, so there's 2 plays that come out of this, Van Kuyk right or Gittins left. Let's see which one goes. It's Van Kuyk right. And there she goes. She's got the corner. There's great blocking one-on-one. She made her miss. And luckily, that little juke move that she had to put gave everybody else a chance to catch back up. So that was 7-2.
I don't
know. 23. 7-23.
That's Zupon.
Zupon. So that's a huge run. That was an 18-yard run right there. I mean, it's funny because when they're in the trips formation, only one of two things happen. They run Van Kuyk to those trips, or they do that little trap play to get up the middle. And they just snap the ball so quick you don't even have time to adjust.
Well, we're nearly in the red zone yet again.
Oh, no, we're in the red zone.
Oh, we are in the red zone? I thought that was 10.
No, red zone, that's 20. Yeah.
Oh, I thought the pink was 10 to 20. Red.
Yeah, I didn't know there was any other colors. I'm not sure you're on the right color scheme.
I might not be. It's been a while since I've been in a red zone.
There you go. All right, so there's Gittins going up the middle. Makes a couple moves. Looks like she's going to get inside the 10-yard line, making it second down and about 7 from the second down and 6 from the 7-yard line. They can get a first down inside the 1-yard line, somewhere around there.
Gunter and Nobes in on that tackle, I believe.
Gunter and Nobes.
I know Gunter.
We've been calling Gunter a lot. So obviously she's playing hard out there, and I know all these ladies are giving it all they got, but it is really, really hot, and I'm sure everybody's really, really tired right now. We have the luxury of air conditioning.
I know. I was looking out there thinking, I wonder how hot it is out there, because it's just...
Well, when I went and got my my Coke and my Frito pie, it was not a place I'd be regularly without a pool next to me.
Yeah, well, it's about 103 prediction for the temperature today.
Oh, and that was right there. That's just all Van Kuyk right there. She basically faked the handoff, and by the time she faked the handoff, there were two Montreal Blitz players to either side of her. And she basically just took one step, spun as those four people were attacking her, and still got 4 yards. So now it's third down and 2. Third down and 3. It's a long 2 from inside the 4-yard line. So, and big number 66 is coming in. What's 66's name? Huron?
Yeah, Huron.
Huron is actually comes in to clog up the middle. So we got twins left, tight end right, spread right. Van Kuyk hands it up the middle of number 28. Little number 28 gets crushed immediately by 43.
Is it 43?
Yeah, that's the guy, DeGeese. DeGeese was in on that. That was huge. They lost. No, they're not going to mark any loss in that play. So it's like no gain for Jessica Plumley. She's another all-star. She was practicing with the all-stars yesterday. Wisconsin actually did not practice this yesterday. All of the teams practiced. Montreal was out there for a couple hours while the all-stars were practicing. We saw KC practice for a couple hours. And then DC practiced as the all-stars were leaving. But Wisconsin knew that they were not going to practice. They said they were going to watch film at the hotel, and that was going to be their practice. I mean, with 19 people, how ragged do you want to run them, right?
Yeah.
So there's a timeout called on the field. 7:57 left in the fourth quarter, with Wisconsin leading 36-7 and looking to score again. It is 4th and 2 from the 4-yard line. Not sure what they're going to do on this, but I'm thinking they want to put some more points on the board.
And why not? That's just been their thing today.
Well, offenses are supposed to score, aren't they?
Let's see. We might as well score. We're here. Might as well score.
So, as the timeout's happening, you see the coaches out there talking it up. Montreal players getting watered up. You know they want to stop them here and give their offense a chance to do something. The only drive they really have is that first one at the end of the first half. They've moved the ball a little bit in the second half, but they're just killing themselves by getting in long down situations. And number 16 has been off today. She hasn't been hitting her receivers. She's had people open enough to get her the ball, and she's had great-looking passes, but they just haven't been on target. So out of the timeout, there is no field goal unit on the field. You have, let me see, that's a unbalanced right, 2 running backs in the backfield, 24 goes in motion. Van Kuyk takes a snap, fakes the handoff to 28, looks like she's going to be sacked, and is! It's the fumble of the play. Nope, they're going to call her down. It doesn't matter if it's a fumble on the play or not, because it's going to be Montreal's ball and the first sack of the day.
Wilshire.
Wilshire was there?
Wilshire.
And number 66, we're just talking about how she just got subbed in there. She put the good pressure up the middle and created that lane for Wilshire to get through.
66 is built for pressure. Pressure and stopping people.
Well, it's usually she's on offense, and I think that was the first year she actually played on defense this whole game. So.
Oh.
They were very determined to make sure that they didn't score on that play. So the flag on the play is on Montreal. I didn't even see a flag on the play. They called offsides on Montreal. Instead of a sack, it's going to be first and goal. I didn't even notice that.
I didn't either.
And they're to our far left in the end zone, and the official to our side just dropped it at our feet, so we didn't even notice that. So I apologize for that. Montreal fans, you will not have the ball off. That was a great play, but it doesn't count. And now Wisconsin has the ball and four tries at the two-yard line. They line up in that Twins left with two running backs in the backfield. They give it to take it to the number 28 and throw it wide open in the back of the end zone with number 27, Straczynski. I mean, they have lots of pressure on Van Kuyt, but she just kept on stepping up into the pocket and threw it to Straczynski, who's just standing there. Nobody was around her.
I think she probably could have done her nails and hair there.
Yeah.
Nothing going on back there with her.
She was having a conversation with the back judge.
Yeah.
Saying, hey, you think she's going to throw it to me? Hold on, let me catch this ball. I'll get back to you in a second. So there's another touchdown for Van Kuyt. That's three throwing and two running. Five touchdowns on the day? I think it's should be a good choice for MVP. Maybe?
Let's see. Yeah, probably.
Okay. All right, well, they're going to go for the two-point conversion. They hand it off in the backfield to Plumlee, and she just gets obliterated by the entire defensive line of the Montreal Blitz.
I think that's six touchdowns.
Six touchdowns?
Yeah, because they stop them twice and they run in for two every time. Yeah, that's six. So I think it's three in the air and three on the ground.
Oh. Alrighty then. Yeah, I can't believe she's that wide open.
Unless I'm counting the Montreal ones on the back. Yeah, it's three. I mean six. I think it's three apiece.
Okay. Well, there you go. Now the score with 7:18 left in the game is 42-7, Wisconsin. And with the Texas flags flapping over in the distance, Montreal is going to try and get the ball back and put some points on the board, and they need to. I mean, they have the talent and they have the plays. They're just not executing them the way they normally have all season.
Well, I think Wisconsin's been really tough at the line of scrimmage. Anytime you start to run your route and you get knocked back five steps, it takes a little toll on you.
Yeah.
But you got to wonder how many of those tough hits Wisconsin has left in them. They're just got to be taking that heat in and feeling a little bit of exhaustion setting in.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the big things I think was important, them jumping in early when they're fresh, so that when it comes to crunch time, they wouldn't be too tired. You know, now they can not so much take plays off, but not worry about losing the game because they were too exhausted.
Yeah, feeling the pressure. They're definitely not feeling pressure.
And there goes Gittins, and that's going to be a touchback there. Ball bounced in the end zone. Montreal's going to bring it out. I don't know if that was a smart decision. And boom, she cut up. She's got blockers, but she was dead. That girl ran about 40 yards and only got to the 27-yard line. I mean, that ball was landed inside the five, bounced in the end zone. They picked it up, and she was on the left hash, ran all the way to the right, waited for one block, cut upfield, and had a wall of blockers, but she was so tired, you could see her legs were, like, barely coming off the ground.
Yeah, that was Mashad.
Mashad, number 21, on the return. So here we are with just over 7 minutes left in the game. Tier 2 championship of the IWFL, and Montreal down by several touchdowns, but, you know, they're still playing the game, and they have one back, two receivers on each side, and it looks like Wisconsin's going to be sending everybody again. They're back in man defense. There's the snap. She drops back, and there's the quick pressure, quick pass.
I think that bounced, don't you? Did it bounce?
No, it didn't bounce. It just... Number 80 caught it, so obviously she's not exactly injured, but now they're finally trying to throw those short passes. I mean, if they're going to blitz, you have to have something that quick. And she didn't get jammed that time. Number 4 was on the coverage, and that's Vichinsky.
It'd be a different game if they'd been throwing those short little quick passes all game.
Remember the first one they threw, the receiver and quarterback weren't on the same page. But they're not even running. See, as a coach, I would say if they're blitzing right there, I'm going to run to right where they're blitzing from.
Yeah.
That's where my route's going to end up. And they're not. They're basically just doing a 5-yard stop route. They're not trying to get off the ball at all. So here they are. 20 receivers. Here comes the blitz. Right there. And the balls, and Sadia twisted her ankle on that. She's limping back onto the field. But, I mean, 22 is coming off the corner unblocked. And they're not, I mean, why not roll away from it? Design the play so you roll away from it and give her some more time and then flood the zone. They're playing man, and if you flood zones, you're going to be able to, you know, get some people open. And Van Kuyk is coming out of the game. This is the first play on offense or defense that she will be coming out of the game. So, congratulations to her for earning a breather. So she's going to go sit down, take a rest, and then Montreal is faced with a 3rd and 5 from their 31-yard line with just over 6 minutes left. Saudia's in the shotgun with 2 receivers each side. Gets a snap. Here comes the blitz. They roll the protection over very nicely, and the ball was thrown up, and two defenders were there, and 24, that's Dia Glory has 1 pick, knocks the ball out of the receiver's hands.
She nearly picked that off.
I like how both of them went up for the ball, though. They didn't wait for it to come down. You saw 4 hands in the air trying to get the ball.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a number on the receiver, but I
believe it was 42.
That would be Mongu.
Yeah, I believe that was her. Very well could have been Palmer. I'd see how which one, because they switched how they line up in and out.
I think it was 42.
So here we go, 4th and 5, and once again they're going for it. This is their 6th or 7th attempt at a 4th down conversion. So Montreal has been dealing with their defense all day, and it looks like everybody's coming again. So they got man-on-man. If they can beat the man-on-man, they're good. They rotate that over, throw the pass. She short-armed it. The quarterback short-armed it. Number 80's not really happy right now because she was wide open, 2 yards past the first down marker, and that's, you know, how you design a play. Run back. Pass the first down marker, throw it to her right there. The timing was right. The ball was just a little bit short. So a turnover on downs, Wisconsin offense back on the field. Van Kuyk back out on the field too.
That was Corbe, by the way.
80. Okay. Yeah, she was not happy. She's after the ball, she tried getting her hands under it and it still skipped. And she slammed the ball back to the turf because she was not happy knowing that she was wide open and that was a big play. So, traveling all the way down from Montreal, I'm sure it's taking its toll. I know that everybody spent a lot of money trying to get down here. And, you know, Montreal, I see a group of fans down there, all with their umbrellas out now. See a couple Hello Kitty ones. So, here we go. And it looks like with 6 minutes left, Wisconsin's just going to take a knee right now. They're got to be exhausted. They got to be exhausted right now. But with 6 minutes left, taking a knee, not so sure about that. But Coach K is probably worried about the health and safety of his players. You know, all of them have been going both ways mainly, you know. So they're probably going to try and run the clock off. You know, there's no reason to try and score. But they're just going to, you know, try and take as much clock off and probably punt the ball back, pinning Montreal deep and hoping that the defense can just keep doing what they've been doing all game.
Well, they're going to have to play regardless, but I guess they just want to expend their energy
on defense
as efficiently as possible.
I mean, and people can say what they want about, you know, kneeling in the game with, you know, just over 5 minutes left, but they're up 42-7. You know, what are they going to prove by marching down the field and scoring on them again or even attempting to score? You know, Coach K is trying to be a class act here saying, you know what, I'm not here to run up the score. You know, I'm just going to say, hey, I'm going to stop and make you score on us while we're on defense. You know, you can run off. We're going to catch a breather real quick. So they're easily going to be able to take off 2 or 3 minutes off the clock with this right here. And so this is 3rd and 15. This will be the 3rd kneel down by Van Kuyk. It's going to hurt her stats. There's a -5 yards. There's a -7 yards. So here comes 4th down, and now they're going to punt. So they're going to give the ball back to Montreal, and that's going to be disheartening to Montreal. You know, not somebody kneeling.
Yeah, that's not yet something you really want.
Yeah. But, I mean, both teams have played really hard today. You know, I think Montreal was just out-muscled. And they're a first-year team. You know, they were here last year, but I was here. I was at the championship game last year. I didn't recognize too many faces on that Montreal team. And I started asking around and saying, where's this person? And they're like, only like three people came back. I was like, what? So, I mean, they're our brand-new team, and they did come, you know, make it all the way back to the championship game. So congratulations to there. And they did win the championship for 2008. Gittins is going to punt the ball down, and they blocked it! They blocked the punt! Ball's rolling around, and Gittins picks it up, and it's going to be a huge, huge change of field position because their returner was lined up on the goal line.
That was Gendron. Blocked the punt. Gendron.
51? What was it?
81.
81? 81 just came right to the line, blocked the punt. They could have scooped and scored, but one of the Wisconsin players was really smart and just knocked her on her butt as she was trying to pick up the ball, which is completely legal because fumbles are live balls, and you don't have – as long as you don't hold somebody, you can hit them and knock them around. And she knocked her off the ball. Ball rolled a little bit farther, and Gittins recovered it. But that was still, you know, instead of first and 10 from inside your own 20, it's first and 10 inside the other team's 40. So a little bit of momentum shift here at the end of the game. It won't have any direct effect on the result of the game as Wisconsin's going to win this game. But Montreal is going to play for some pride here and try and prove that they can put some points on the board. Hopefully the quarterback's a little bit settled down as she's been a little bit off all game. I don't know how many 100-degree days they have to deal with in Montreal.
Yeah, I don't know. I was surprised that they have a few of them in Wisconsin, but it's a little bit more north there in Montreal. Couple hundred, 300 yards, or 300 miles.
There's a quick rollout by Saudi, and she's going to be dragged down by Gittins for a sack. So, I mean, the double formation is not working for them to the point that they're sending one more than they can block. And Saudi has been doing a great job of avoiding that rush, but, you know, if your receivers are all running 12 to 15-yard routes, you're never going to get the ball to them because you have to basically move just to one side, and it takes out half the field. And with the quarterback rolling one way, unless you have the offense call to flood to one way to protect the quarterback with a rollout, then it's not going to work. And here they are again in doubles. One running back in the backfield, so you're probably going to have to go left to help block. There's a snap. Here comes the pressure. There's a quick pass across the middle, and it really wasn't that bad of a pass, but 80 is limping horribly.
Yeah, Corbet's feeling it. She's not. She really doesn't have a lot of mobility. She's got two options, catch it standing up or go down on the knee.
And, I mean, she could have caught that ball, but she wasn't going to cut into the ball. You could tell right there that she was just not running that ball. And that's a little bit sad to see that, you know, it's the last game. You're not going to play another football game for 6 months. You know, why? I mean, you have plenty of time to heal up. Bruises, all that stuff, they'll all go away. I don't think they subbed her out, did they? There's another deep pass. There she is running deep, and she makes this catch. That was a great catch right there. So there she was. Last play, she basically gave up on the ball. In this play, she goes up high for the ball, catches it for a huge 20-yard gain. So actually, it's going to be a 19-yard pass completion. So we got first and 10 from the 21-yard line with 2:37 left in the game. A lot of people got to be tired out there. It's pretty hot, you know. I think most everybody has their helmets off on the sideline because Montreal has black helmets. So, and Wisconsin has dark blue helmets with white face masks. They look pretty good helmets. I like their uniforms. Montreal's uniforms are pretty nice because they have the red streak going down their black pants. But I've always liked that. So we got double formation again. There's a draw play, which is there. And there she goes. 81's up the middle. Trying to run away from 24. And cannot, but that looks like it's going to be enough for another first down and should take us to the two-minute warning.
That's Gidron.
Gidron, that was a great run because she had to basically sidestep her own lineman in the backfield as they were setting up their blocks. And that was 24, Sherry Dick on the tackle. If she had made that tackle, it would have been a touchdown. So that is the two-minute warning. They are going to give them a first down. So after the two-minute warning, they're going to get it's going to be first and 10 from the 11-yard line, and with Montreal knocking on the door. And the sad thing is the two times they've been ready to score have been at the end of the half.
Yeah, but you still got to give them credit. I mean, it's got to be demoralizing for defending champions to have a team taking a knee, and yet they're still fighting. They're still putting it in there. So
yes, they are. They're trying to score points and put them on the board, you know, and go back to Montreal saying, hey, we made it a championship game. We might not have walked away with a trophy, but we were there, and we played our butts off.
Now, do you know, Coach Penn, if a couple of these players that are seeming to be dynamic forces for the Blitz, Gendron, did she play last year? Do you know?
As far as I know, only like three or four of the players played. And the funny thing is four of their stars aren't here. Two were lost to injury. One's climbing Mount Kilimanjaro. The other one got pregnant. So.
Well, I mean, this is a pretty good showing considering those things.
Yeah, because he was like, we made it here and we lost four people. You know, and he's like, we'll be playing the game without our four best players probably, but, you know, we're gonna still fight and we expect to win. So, I mean,
yeah.
He came in with a positive attitude, ready to win, you know, and if they're trying to make a tradition of this, they got to swallow this and say, you know what, we just have to be better next year.
Yeah.
You know? Because to get here is one thing, but you got to be willing. There's a nice swing pass. Good catch. Is she going to get to the end zone? Got Van Kuyk to beat, and
yep.
She beats her.
Yep.
Touchdown. Is that 81 again?
Yep, I think it's 81.
Yeah. Basically what they did is they faked the run up the middle, then they faked the pass up the middle, and 81 swung out, caught the ball around the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
And then just cut up field, and Van Kuyk had the angle but couldn't quite get her hands on her because 81's big.
Yeah, that was Gendron again.
Yeah, she's had a hell of a game.
Yeah, she's blocked the punt.
Blocked the punt.
And those last two runs, this has been a pretty good
quarter
for her.
She scored the first touchdown, didn't she?
I can't remember.
She on the running
play. I wrote it down. She might have. No, that was a pass play.
What was a pass play? Oh, that's a sliding catch. That's right. It was Palmer.
Yeah.
But I think she was huge on that because she kept on getting those fourth down conversions.
Yeah.
We brought her in for the fourth down conversions. Here's the extra point attempt. It's up and
good.
Good. So that's 14 points for the Blitz, and there's a flag on the play. False start on the offense. Do it again. They're going to have to do it again, so that point comes off the board. And we'll see if she can kick it from 5 yards farther. That looks like it would have been good for five more yards.
I think Montreal is actually one of the teams who pretty consistently kicks the extra point instead of trying for the two-point conversion.
And that's something I'm looking forward to in the championship game, because I think both teams kick. You know, and that's huge, extra points. You know, so at 7 o'clock tonight, you got the championship game. And I'm pretty sure you can watch that on Ustream TV. That's ustream.tv, search IWFL. Right now, we got under 2 minutes in the Tier 2 championship game. Going to retry this extra point. She kicks it, and it's still going to be good. So all that for the same result. Now we have the ensuing onside kick, which are always exciting and fun. One of the most exciting plays in football.
Definitely the most unpredictable. All that happened in 8 seconds? Didn't they take the 2-minute warning?
After that catch.
Oh, okay.
That one catch got them down there. They got the ball back with
So Gendron ran two plays? Didn't Gendron run twice?
Yeah,
after that?
She ran up the middle and then got the pass.
Are they starting the clock?
Yeah, it has to be starting the clock. I've been watching it, you know, because they got the ball with 3 minutes left.
Yeah, just
you know,
I mean, like that should have been more than 8 seconds. Maybe it was 2:08. I didn't write it down. I should have written it down. My notes are faulty. Oh, no.
He's kicking in the fourth quarter.
Like it's not been there the whole time.
So there we go. We got just under 2 minutes left. Montreal scoring their second touchdown. And let me see.
That was a very respectable touchdown, too. I mean, you know, taking the knee and then blocking the punt, what a momentum shifter that was. I mean, that's encouraging. How fun is that? I mean, players play for years and never get to block a punt.
And you weren't at the last game that we had this year, the Quake versus the SoCal Breakers.
I missed it.
Quadruple overtime?
I heard about it.
And IWFL plays college rules, and they're kind of they take some from the NFL, mostly from the NCAA, and then some high school in there as well. So it's a mixture of rules, but they're the IWFL rule book. It's its own separate rule book. But we play the NCAA overtime rules, where everybody gets equal amounts to try score. Well, the Breakers tried kicking field goals 4 times. We blocked 2 of them, Ninji Martin being that, right up the middle. And we almost ran one of them back. So, I mean, it was exciting, to say the least, and it's just, it's, you know, I'm looking forward, because no championship game is ever going into overtime. The Dallas-Chicago one last year should have went into overtime, and I'm looking forward to the game against KC and DC later tonight. I mean, they're two totally different teams. One is a very balanced misdirection play-action team, and the other one's a shotgun run-and-shoot without the run team. So, here we go. Looks like the onside kick is going to go left as they have six personnel over there. Number seven lines up. Boop. Tries to nail somebody. Goes through legs. Number four finally picks it up and takes a knee and gets covered up by four of her teammates. So, great play. Smart play by Bishinsky. Looks like they tried drilling it at somebody instead of getting that high bounce off the ground. So, I would expect some knees coming up. Montreal only has one timeout, so it would be pointless for them to even call a timeout. They're not going to be able to stop the clock. But once, and with 40-second play clock, 40, 120, 160.
So. Couple knees.
Yep, should be a couple knees, and we should be out of here. So we'd like to congratulate both teams on making it to the Tier 2 IWFL Championship game and being a part of Championship Weekend. I know that a couple of players on both teams will be trying to play in the All-Star game tomorrow, which is at 10 a.m. You check the ladies at WFBTalk.wordpress.com. Check the time and schedule for all those broadcasts. I had planned to do some sideline stuff to interact with the game, but I doubt I'll be doing that, but I'll be taking some breaks during timeouts to call in and give everybody an update on the game, how it's happening from the field, the weather conditions, stuff like that. Kind of. Deb, are you going to be announcing that game?
Nope.
You're not going to be announcing all
the
game?
I'm going to be in an airplane, 32,000 feet.
How's it going to fit the Harley on there?
I rented.
Oh, well, at least you rented a stylist car.
Yeah.
I think I have a Mazda 3.
Well, you know, those are all right. About the same fuel economy, which is what I'm after.
There you go.
Ecologically sound.
All right, so Van Kuyk's taking one knee already, and we're down to about a minute left. She's going to have to take two more, it looks like. So there's one, and we're going to have one more knee with about 25 or 30 seconds left, and that'll be it. So, but I will say this, Coach K, I respect him a lot for kneeling the last two series. It shows a lot of class. You hate to see that in a championship game that's supposed to match teams against each other like this, but it just happens. And Montreal just called timeout.
Yeah, they did.
Seconds left.
They sure did.
And that's not going to work because guess what? Wisconsin's doesn't all they have to do is not down it until after 40 seconds rolls off the clock, so that was pointless. If Van Kuyk just rolls around, wait until it says 39, and then takes a knee or falls down or whatever, they can't stop the clock again. So I don't know why you would do that. They needed to call that a little bit earlier. You got to call it after first down. But it shows they have fight in them, so they want to keep playing, but they only have 41 seconds left in the 2009 season, and they will be the Tier 2 conference champions, whereas the Wisconsin Warriors will be the Tier 2 league champions. So congratulations to Wisconsin. Why are they giving another timeout? No, the board only said one timeout left, and they've taken two now. So I didn't keep track of timeouts. I was relying on the board. And the board, I guess, is wrong. So, looks like they are going to get the ball back with the punt. 37 seconds left. So, they'll be able to run the punt and maybe two more plays. Maybe put the score on it and call it 42-21.
Huh. Alrighty then. A little more football. I never complain about that.
Yeah. It's one of the reasons I left the schedule and season that women play football, because there's no other football going on, and I'm bored out of my mind. I was like, hey, at least I have women's football. When college football kicks in, I become a couch potato. Oh, they fumbled the snap. Gaines is trying to pick it up, and she's not going to, and she takes a hard lick from 51.
Yeah, they're going to call that. Yeah, that wasn't really quite that necessary. That was Roberge.
Roberge hit her while she fell on the ball and then just covered it up, and Roberge took a huge hit at her to make sure she stayed down. And then 41 got up and Giddens retaliated, but the personal foul is going to be against Montreal. There's no reason to hit her. All you basically had to do was touch her. So with 30 seconds left, instead of having the ball inside the 15-yard line, they're going to be somewhere out near the 30.
That's unfortunate.
I mean
that actually hurt the team quite a bit.
Yeah, it did, because they could have easily scored from there. I mean, you only have 30 seconds left, no timeouts, so you basically have to throw all sideline routes or into the end zone, and that's easy enough to do from a 14-yard line. Now you're at the 28-yard line, so you're going to have to use the sideline or throw bombs. And, I mean, and you know that Van Kuyk's going to be sitting back deep waiting for that pick. And she still is in the game. It looks like they have all of her starters still in. 47-24. Giz is still in there. 27's on the corner. 20's on the corner. Montreal comes out of the huddle, and they're still in their double set. They're under center. Which doesn't make any sense to me, because they're going to get, as soon as she sets her feet,
they switch back to man.
And there's the reverse. Dead. Dead in the water, and I don't know if they're going to get another playoff. That was a nice try, but there was too much penetration for big old number 95, and that's Boye. And I wish I could get her first name right, but it's N-I-Y, Tasha. So, Natasha? Maybe? Natasha?
Yeah.
But hey, Natasha. Sorry I mutilated your name. So, here we go. 3 seconds left. It's going to be last play of the game, and it was a false start, but they're not going to call it. Sadia rolls out, throws it short, which is not going to do anything as the receiver falls down and is touched by Coons, and that's the game.
I think that receiver was Tremblay.
Tremblay on the catch?
Yeah.
No, it was 82 Palmer.
Okay.
Yeah. I fear. But that's the game. Congratulations to both teams. The Tier 2 IWFL champions are the Wisconsin Warriors, with a victory over the Montreal Blitz, 42-14. Nothing better than earning your championship against the defending champions, right?
That is right.
So, I mean, it was a good game. It may not have reflected on the scoreboard, but both teams played very hard and I'm sure earned the respect of each other. And it was a well-played game. There was about one bad play at the end, but other than that, it was a very sportsmanlike game. And here go both teams. Coach of the Montreal had to say something to his ladies real quick, and now both teams are lined up on the 50 and are going to shake hands, which is customary in the IWFL and teams. Everybody's very cordial and sportsmanlike after the end of the games, and that's something we promote within our league, within our team, and within our communities.
Well, as they shake hands in the middle, what do we have to look forward to the rest of championship weekend?
Well, tonight I think we have a little game called the Tier 1 Championship.
That's right, we do.
Yeah, and
how do they find that? Do we know? Same website? BJ? No.
I don't.
They'll have to check the website.
They're actually going to Ustream it, and I think they're charging. I do not know that for sure, but go to Ustream.tv, search IWFL, and I believe there will be broadcasting the game. I don't know about announcers or anything like that. I will be here with my players watching the game, enjoying the Tier 1 game against DC Divas and the Kansas City Tribe. Kansas City's West, representing the West Coast, whereas DC, who, in my opinion, played the hardest schedule of anybody in the league. They played 9 Tier 1 teams and won each game. The last game was just incredible against Boston. They had to travel to Boston, fell behind quickly 14-0. And then eked their way back, only to let Boston score with less than a minute remaining in the game to take the lead, like 21-19 or something like that. And then DC runs the kickoff back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
So I mean, what a way to earn a trip to the championship game.
Yeah, I talked to a few of the Boston players, and they couldn't believe it. The peak, the pinnacle of their football careers, and then. 60 seconds later, the lowest point they could feel. So they were pretty shook up about that. I didn't get to talk to any of the Divas, but the Boston players were very disheartened at this, just right after being so happy. But they're a class act there. They were very positive, said the Divas are a great team, and they're looking forward to see how the game turns out.
And I was very disappointed to not see very many Boston players here. Because, I mean, to beat Dallas the way that they did, and then to have DC beat in a 59-minute game. So,
yeah.
Fortunately, the game's 60 minutes. So
they didn't. Not very many of them showed up for the All-Star game.
I did not see very many at all.
Yeah.
I didn't see for any. And You know, the game being in Austin, it's in Texas, it's the middle of the country. Everybody basically has to travel the same distance. So I was kind of surprised that, you know, a lot of the East Coast teams didn't have as many as the other teams. So,
yeah.
Well, I am going to say that is it. I'm looking forward to seeing the game tonight. If you're looking forward to see it.
Tell me again about the game. I don't think we put a blip in there. And
the All-Star game, that is tomorrow at 10 a.m. So for those of you who are looking to see the best of the best play against the best of the best, go to the wfbtalk.wordpress.com. The whole schedule's on there. You can listen to it live. They'll have announcers. I will be on the field coaching the Western Conference All-Stars, representing the Western Conference teams. Check that out. Listen to the game. I believe that will also be Ustreamed, so do some Googles or whatever you have to do to find that out. And if you have any questions, make sure you email the ladies at WFB Talk because they'll get right back to you. They're all here this weekend promoting the game and learning all about women's football. So are we good to say goodnight? All right. Deb, thank you very much.
Thank you,
Josh. It's a pleasure working with you again.
Pleasure, Coach Ben.
All right?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we hope you enjoy the broadcast of the Tier 2 IWFL Championship. Congratulations once again to the runners-up, Montreal Blitz, and your Tier 2 champions, the Wisconsin Warriors. Thank you very much, everybody. Enjoy your day.